So our aim in Krishna consciousness, of course, is pure love of God, Krishna Prema. And according to our own inclination and our aspiration to love Krishna in a particular way, we'll want to focus our bhajan on one group of Brijvasis or another group of Brijvasis. It's told by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we should follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And of course the attraction to a particular resident of Vrindavan coincides with the awakening of our own sthayibhav, our eternal loving mood towards Krishna. And this awakening of the sthayibhav will begin to appear to us as we progress from ruchi to asakti. We'll have some inclination or idea to love Krishna in a particular way, to love Krishna like the gopis, or to love Krishna and serve Krishna like the coward boys, or to love Krishna and serve Krishna like the mothers, like Yashoda, Nanda, Rohini, Sri Ram, Subal, Lalita Vishaka, Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri. There's one very interesting book by Raghunath Das Goswami. It's called Brajavilastava. So in this Brajavilastava, these are prayers offered to the different residents of Vrindavan. Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, is the Prayojanacharya. He's showing the way of perfection and the path of necessity, how necessary it is for us to follow his example as a sadhaka and ultimately even as a siddha. At the platform of Asakti and Bhav, we may be very intimately connected with Rati Mandri, the maidservant form of Raghunath Das Goswami. So in this book, he's actually introducing us to our family members. It's generally said when we enter into the family of devotees, Gurukul, Kula means family, the family of the Guru. One takes Vaishnava initiation, Vaishnava Diksha, then it's considered that he accepts a new gotra. He accepts a new identity, a transcendental identity, Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. This is an abhiman, this is a way of thinking, this is a mentality, this is an identity, an ego, that I am not the enjoyer, that I'm the servant, that I'm eternal, and Krishna is my eternal master. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Vritya. So this, along with this new identity, just like when you take birth in a particular family, then you grow up, assume your bodily identity and your role and relationship in that family as a son and as a future husband, father, etc. And you play out your role according to how you relate and identify with the family members. And you may be enlisted in a particular gotra descending from some great rishi, Kasyap Muni or Gautam Rishi. So then someone asks you your gotra and you say Gautam Gotra, Kaushik Gotra, Kasyap Gotra, Kapila Gotra. So when we take Vaishnava Diksha, we enter the family or gotra of Krishna. It's called Achyuta Gotra. All other gotras are chuta. They're fallible, they're temporary. Now you're in Kasyap Gotra, and next time you may be in Kuta Gotra, family of dogs, Kuta Gotra, or Sur Gotra, family of pigs, because it's easy for a human to become a pig or an animal due to misbehavior. So now we have an illustrious dynasty of great saints and rishis and enlightened grihasthas coming from some great rishi like Gautam. But if we misuse our inheritance and our wealth of our gotra and act like animals and sin and misbehave, then we can become pig or dog or monkey in our next life. But devotees enter the family of Krishna. It's called Achyuta Gotra. So when you enter a material family, then you become acquainted with, oh, this is my mother, this is my father, this is my brother. And of course, Indian families have a whole long line of relatives. Ambua and Mama and Masi and Chacha and Jiju, and I can't even keep track of them all. There's so many. But they're known to us, and we know something about them, where they live, what their name is, what their form is. Oh, my bua, oh, my bua, she's like this. She has short hair. And my mama, he's fair in color, but he has whitish black hair. And we remember when we call out their name, we can, a vision, their form comes, nam, rup, and maybe guna, their qualities. Oh, he's a very bad person. My mama is very bad. He's very stingy. He's very wealthy. But whenever I ask him some money, he doesn't give me anything. He doesn't have much brain, Bob. So we remember their guna. And then their activities, their charitra, their activities. You can't call it lila, but let's just say their activities. We remember, oh, he did this and he did that. Yes, my mama, he was a great fighter pilot in the Indian Air Force. And he downed 16 Pakistani warplanes in a great fight for Bangladesh. Or whatever. Some anecdote we may remember. So in the same way, and as we grow up, we get to know more about our relatives, their forms, their qualities, their activities, at least the ones we intimately associate with, the immediate ones, brothers, sisters, uncles, etc., cousins. And that's all very important to us. We consider it very important and very necessary to know these things, to function in the material society. In a similar way, it's also very important for us to know about the spiritual family. What are the names of our spiritual family members? What are their forms? What are their qualities? Nam, rup, gun, and lila. What are their activities? What will my relationship be with them? How will I interact with them? How will I see them or serve them or receive their help or guidance? What will my role be in relation to them? And how to know this? This is the spiritual family, the Achyuta Gotra, the family of Krishna, the Braj Parivar, the family of Vrindavan, Vrindavan Parivar. Some people say, oh, I love my family, I love the Guptas. Sometimes they have houses and they say, the happy residents of the Guptas, or the Guptas family, or the Sharma family. They say like that. So Krishna's family is very happy. So he has a father, and he has a mother, and he has a grandfather and a grandmother, and then he has uncles. He has five uncles from his father's side, and then Upananda, and Avinandan, and Sanandan, and Nandana. I mean, four uncles, rather, from his father's side. And his father's in the middle, Nanda, the five Nandas, sons of Parjanya. So what are the names of the family, my family members? Because Krishna, friend of yours is a friend of mine, as we say. Your friend is my friend. So Krishna's friends, his coward boyfriends, his gopis, they're very important to us. So in this book, and many others, especially Radha Krishna Ganargash Deepika, which is Rupa Goswami's classic book, which is called the Deepika, the lamp to see the associates of Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna Gan, Udesh. Gan means group. Udesh, Deepika, light. Radha and Krishna's Gan, their group, their Sakhi Gan, Gopa Gan, their Parivar Gan, their group, their associates. So in there it talks about the gopis and the gopas, and these same points are reiterated by Raghunath Das Goswami in the form of stava. Stava means prayers. He's praying to them. He's glorifying these family members of Krishna for their names and their qualities and their activities. So this book is given by the Prayojanacharya, Stavavali, and in that Stavavali, that group of stavas, there's one particular stava to the residents of Vrindavan, Purnamasi, Madhumangal, etc., Kirtida Mukara. And this Rajavilas stava describes them and glorifies them, and he's praying to them, oh, please reveal yourself to me. Please bestow your mercy upon me. Please accept me in a family. Please make me qualified to move amongst you and to serve you and to be accepted by you. So, of course, there can be no movement without desire. You can't move anywhere without desire. Movement is guided by desire, and there can be no desire without hearing, without knowledge. So the desire to move in the spiritual circle, or the desire to move in the family circle of Krishna. I remember once there was a magazine in America called Family Circle. Well, we have these Life magazine and Vogue and Mademoiselle and Sports Afield and Sports Illustrated and all these type of magazines that people read, Psychology Today, and Scientific American or whatever, different journals and magazines. So this was called Family Circle. It was about the family, children, mothers, husbands, beauty, food, house maintenance. So this is the family circle. Mandala means circle, Braj Mandal. Say Rasa Mandal, everything is a circle. There's Ras Mandal, there's a circle within Braj Mandal. And Krishna's family members, they're also a circle, family circle. So it's told that if we hear about these, by hearing this book and hearing about the wonderful exchanges, sweet exchanges of love between Krishna, who is Shamsundar, known as Rasa Gana Vigraha. Like we say, Gana Sham. Gana Sham Radhe Radhe, Gana Sham Radhe Radhe, Nikunja Mevi Raje, Gana Sham Radhe Radhe, Nikunja Mevi Raje, Gana Sham Radhe Radhe, Nikunja Mevi Raje, Gana Sham Radhe Radhe. Rasa Gana Vigra. Vigra means the form of condensed. Gana means thick. Sometimes they call the sugar cane Gana Ras because it's thick water. It's juicy water, thick water, condensed water. Of course, usually they water it down. If you get actually straight sugar cane juice or Gana Ras, it's quite thick. So Rasa Gana Vigra. Krishna is a form of condensed Ras. Rasu Vaisaha. He's very sweet, very relishable, very condensed. Sandranda, very condensed. So he's the embodiment of spiritual flavors. So acharyas are telling that if we hear and chant about the wonderful sweet exchanges between Krishna and his associates, then this type of rasa will be manifest in our hearts because we develop the qualities which we associate with. You associate with dacoits and you become a dacoit. Your thinking becomes colored by their association, just like a crystal becomes colored by the object next to it. If a blue object is adjacent to a crystal, then the crystal adopts the blue radiance and appears to be blue, although it's quite clear, but it absorbs the blue color of the adjacent object. So our minds, consciously or unconsciously, become colored by our association. They become influenced. That's why asat sangatyaga evaishnavachara. The Vaishnavas are enjoined not to associate with the temporary because the mind becomes colored, consciously or unconsciously, by their vibration, by their manavritti. Manavritti means that the movements of their thought, the waves of their thought. Like we have radio waves, and we have microwaves, and we have macrowaves, and television waves, and these cell phones, they go in the microwave. It's a vibration. It's a wave. We can't see it, but you can feel it if you put your phone on vibration mode. Your phone is jumping, isn't it? There's some mechanical apparatus inside the cell phone. When it receives the microwave stimulates that mechanical apparatus and the phone is jumping. Boom, 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 boom. So microwave is getting transformed into some tangible vibration. But microwave you can't touch. You can't feel, you can't see. But when it's transformed, then you see, you feel, oh, I have a call. My phone is vibrating in my pocket. Right? Everyone has this experience. So the same way, you can't see the manavritti. And you can't feel it. And you can't weigh it. But when you associate with the vibrations, the thought waves, just the thought waves, and speech is vibration, thinking is vibration. They put electrodes on the head and they measure the waves, the vibration in the brain. It's called alpha waves. Alpha waves, beta waves, omega waves. And then the psychologists have done experiments. They say, so yes, this is in its waking state, the brain is making this type of vibration, these type of waves. And now he's entered into swapna, into sleep. Now there's different waves. The wave pattern, they measure it on a graph. The wave pattern is changed now. So this is scientifically proven that the brain, there's waves, vibration, vritti, waves, vibration, movement in the brain. So just by associating material people, their thought waves actually come into us and create reaction, create vibration. They increase our propensity to enjoy. They increase our forgetfulness of God, and they increase our attachment to matter. Because every living entity is a vibratory unit. Every living entity is like a walking reactor, atomic reactor of manovritti. So one reactor is interfacing with another reactor. So even physical proximity is disjoined or discouraged by the saints of the past. They said, do your bhajan in a lonely place. And of course, Krishna is advising that same thing in Gita. He said, yoga has to be performed in a lonely place. Observe brahmacharya. He says, observe brahmacharya. That means live alone. And if you live with a woman, it's pretty hard to be a brahmachari. Or a man, or whatever. So he's saying, go to a lonely place, observe brahmachari, stare between your nose, fix your mind on the super soul. He gives some ideas about yoga. But one of them is to live in a lonely place, to isolate yourself from the rajasic and tamasic vibrations of sense enjoyers, materialistic vishayis. They're very, very dangerous. Someone might think, oh, I don't take their ideas. People sometimes think association means talking to materialists and accepting their ideas. Of course, that's the grossest form of vibration. That interpenetration of those thoughts go deeply into the chitta. When you actually hear the ideas and speeches of materialistic people, and they enter into your tympanic nerve, and they vibrate your eardrum, then they actually register on your chitta. Sound vibration is the most powerful of all sense impressions. Sound vibration. So just to sit on the bus with them or go to some house and some social function. But they're maybe not speaking to you and giving their nonsense ideas or opinions about any plethora of idea of subjects, but they're thinking. They're thinking and they're radiating. And they may very well be thinking about you and radiating about you. And that manovritti, that vibration of thought is coming into your being, coming into your man and bud, and affecting you. And you don't even see. They're not looking at you, and they're not even speaking about you at another table or another corner of the room. They're just thinking, oh, why is it nonsense person only eating once a day? I heard they're only eating once a day for Chaturmasya. Oh, whatever. Because we see and then we think. We hear then we think. We smell then we think. We taste then we think. We touch then we think. They go together. So if someone sees you, then they think, oh, there's that nonsense. You can't separate sense impression from mind. Mind and senses are eternally interlinked. So if senses are interacting with objects, then mind is also there. It is the sixth sense. And mind means thinking thousands of thoughts in 1 second. Accept, reject, good, bad, like, dislike, rag, dvesh. So therefore this materialistic association is very much discouraged. But on the converse, when we hear about the eternal associates of the Lord and their dealings and their exchanges of love and sweetness, that sweetness comes into us. Those exchanges come into us and they register there. They make some deposit there. They leave some residue there. Like when you burn a bunch of wood, so much smoke is generated and soot and gases. And what's left is some ashes. When it's all said and done, the wood is all gone, but there's some ashes remaining. Something is there. The bulk of everything has been transformed into different elements, into gas, into smoke, etc., air. So the same thing when we hear Harikatha or hear about these things, it leaves some, although most of it evaporates. Most of it goes in one ear and out the other. But while passing from one ear out the other, it leaves some ash, some basma, some rasa basma is deposited in the core of the heart. And that's what helps us go forward. So this is mentioned here that this is the effect of hearing. So this is a very wonderful book to hear about the associates. So today we want to speak something about the cowherd boys. Because in Braja, basically there's three rasas. There's Sakhi Ras and Vatsalya and Madhurya. You won't find actually Dasya and Sakya. You won't find Shuddha Shant. I mean, excuse me. You won't. I mean to say is you won't find Shant and Dasya. pure servitude or pure neutrality, because everything is mixed with the higher rasas. For example, if you have a house servant of Krishna, he's simply a servant, he's in Dasya Bhav, but his Dasya Bhav is mixed with Sakya. He has a mood of friendship towards Krishna. He's not just a hired servant in the house. We may have some servant in the house. He does his work. He does his dutiful service. He gets his pay. He keeps quiet. He's obedient. But he doesn't really have love for the master. Doesn't have a sense of friendship with the master. But that can't be said about Braj. In Braj, even the house servants, they have their Dasya Bhava is their main ras, but it's also mixed with Sakya. And a Sakya and the Shanta is mixed with a mode of Dasya. Everything is connected with Krishna. And ultimately, Vishnu Chakravarti says that there is sweetness in everything. The Madhurya is penetrating everything. And that's why it's called Madhurya Dham, Sri Vrindavan. The trees are interacting with the sweetness of Krishna's Madhurya Rupam and his Madhurya Venam and his Prema Madhurya. Vena Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, they're all interacting and registering their response, loving response, sweet response. Trees are trembling and beehives are dropping honey, and even the rocks are melting in ecstasy. When conjugal lovers are enjoying intensely and intimately, then they're melting, and they're literally melting and perspiring, and their bodies are melting in the heat of the enjoyment. So when Krishna's playing his flute to attract the gopis to the Nikunj, then the rocks are melting in ecstasy. The rocks are experiencing a Madhurya and they're perspiring. And when they're perspiring, they're actually they're losing their shape. They're transforming. The solids are becoming liquid. And sometimes if someone is in the height of ecstasy, they become stunned. They become stunned. It's called stumbha, astasatvik bhavs. So the water, when the Yamuna hears Krishna, or the lakes or rivers or waterfalls, when Krishna plays his flute and Madhurya rasa, and he's only calling the name of the gopis in that flute. And Murali. Murali is one gopi calling another gopi. Murali is female. So the Murali is calling the other gopis. Oh, come. And Krishna plays Radharani's name in the Murali. Oh, Radharani, come, come, please. And only this flute is calling in Madhurya Ras. And only calling for Madhurya Mayi Radha, Krishna Mayi Radha. But the rivers are hearing that sound, so sweet, so much madhur, that they turn solid, they become stunned, and their movements become frozen, and the rivers stop their movements and turn into ice, turn into rocks. So in this way, even insentient aspects of the Braja environment, which are considered to be supporters of the rasa, they're considered to be existential or supporters of the rasa, situated in shantaras, passive adoration or passive service, without personal connection, they are personally connected to the prema rasa of Krishna, Madhurya Prem, and they interact in their own way. Rocks are shivering and melting, and rivers are becoming stunned in Satvik Bhavs due to the Prem. So ultimately in Braja Dham, there's only Madhurya Ras, and everyone's taking part. So this, to understand, if our ambition or goal, if our Stai Bhav is Gopi Bhav, or Mandri Bhav, or Bhavalas Rati, then of course this is the highest pitch of devotional dedication. The greatest dedication to the center, to Krishna, comes in the form of Radharani and her expansions, Sakis and Manjaris, and her assistants, Radhasnayadika and other Manjaris, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. They are the greatest dedicating units to the center. They are most surrendered and most dedicated to Krishna, more than Yashoda, more than Nanda, more than anyone. Everyone is dedicated. It's the land of dedication, Prajadam, but not like them. The extent of their dedication is unparalleled. Incomparable. So what they have, what's in their makeup, what's in their hearts, what's in their mind, is all the other rasas plus more. All the Shanta ras, Dasi ras, Sakhi ras, Vatsali ras, everything is there. The nourishment, the protection, the equality, the superiority, the support, the worry, the chastisement, the protection, all the different moods and mellows of the other rasas are contained within Madhurya ras. So therefore it's very conducive for one who's aspiring ultimately at some point to become the maidservant of Radharani and Radhadasyam. It's also very conducive to understand about the coward voice. So here in describing the sukkas, There's some different verses here in Brajavilasatava. Firstly, there's an introduction. This is verse 23, which gives a general introduction to Krishna Sakas. And it's a prayer, as I mentioned, everywhere he's praying, Tadbadarpita Chitta Jivita Kala Yetan Prapadyamahe. He's saying, like we say, Ye Itamam Prapadyante. All of them, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So Prapadyante means surrender, means to take shelter. So here he's saying, I take shelter. In other words, Raghunath Das Goswami, as the Acharya of Prema, the Prema Acharya, Prayojana. Our Prayojana is Prema. Prema Pumartha Mahan. So the Rasacharya, the Avideya Rasacharya is Rupa Goswami. And the Sambandha Acharya is Sanatana Goswami. So the Prayojana, which is Prema, Krishna Prema, the Acharya is Raghunath Das. So Raghunath Das is showing how he's praying. He's praying to Purnamasi. He's praying to Kirtida and taking shelter of Kirtida, Radharani's mother. And he's praying to Vrishabhanu, her father, and taking shelter. And he's praying to Krishna's father and grandfather, Variyasi and Parjanya, etc. So here he's praying to the coward boys. He's saying, I take shelter of Krishna, Sri Krishna's friends. And what do they do? Kritvai katra ghavam kulani parita krishnena sardam muda. They collect the cows that are scattered here and there, and they play and joke with Krishna hand in hand, and they are completely free from the mud of on reverence. They have washed off the mud of on reverence with the water from the ocean of their pure fraternal love. So here he's making an analogy. This on reverence that you find in Vaikuntha or even in Dwarka and Mathura to some extent, their intimacy is washed it all off. These coward friends of Krishna, the Sakas, they are decorated with all the apparel of cowherd boys, like flutes, horns, reeds, and they have offered their lives and hearts and wealth to Krishna's lotus feet. So this is the epitome of their surrender. Padarpita chitta jivita kala yetan prapadyamahe. So kala means their arts, their skills, their wealth, their lives, their chitta, their heart. Padarpita. Everything is surrendered at Krishna's lotus feet. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the third wave, Rupa Goswami also describes about Krishna's sakas. He praises them. So we can understand something about them. He says, some of the sakas are very steady and they give wise counsel to Krishna. Some are very naughty and light-hearted, and they laugh while making Krishna laugh. Some coward boys are very innocent and delight Krishna with their sincere behavior. Some astonish Krishna with their crooked nature, and some coward boys boldly challenge him in debate. And some gentle and blessed friends give Krishna love with their sweet words. In this way, all of the sakas of Braj expertly serve Krishna with their different sweet natures that are born from pure fraternal love. So, of course, this is a general description of the sakas, that they love Krishna intimately and sweetly, and they engage in all these different activities. And of course, there are different categories of coward boys which are described. There's the Surit sakas and Priya sakas and Priya Narma sakas. And they're described in Ganadesha Deepika. But in this particular verse, they're describing the Uttara Goshta Lila, how they collect all the cows that are scattered here and there. And Uttara Goshta means when Krishna returns in the afternoon from cowherding, 3:36 in the evening till 6, when Baladev and all the coward boys, of course he's finished his Radhakund pastimes and concluded his Sriyakund pastimes, disguising as Vishwa Sharma, the universal Brahman, the great friend of everyone, the Vishwamitra, the real friend, the real sun-like friend of everyone, especially Radharani, Vrishabhanu Nandini, He's the Banu of Prishabhanu, Nandini. Banu means sun. He's the sun planet for Prishabhanu Nandini, Vishwasharma, the great Brahmin. But then when they return, then they have to collect the cows, because as you know, if you live in a village, cows have a tendency to wander here and there, attracted by the grass or just the idea of wandering. Cows like to wander, Nagoshta. So Uttaragosha means the return. Technically, in Astakali Lila, it's called Aparan, Aparan Lila, returning to Nandagaon. So then they have this verse is describing that. He's remembering Raghunath Das Goswami in his Smaran. He's remembering Krishna's coward boyfriends, and he's remembering how sweet and intimate they are with Krishna. He's also remembering specifically the Uttaragosha Lila, when they all get together and they play their flutes and horns and reeds, and they collect the cows. It's described when Krishna goes out in the morning, which is Purvan Lila, 8:36 in the morning to 10:48. When he takes all the coward boys out, he has four different types of paraphernalia. In the left hand side of his dhoti, he has a buffalo horn. In the right hand side of his dhoti, he tucks his flute. He tucks his flute in the right hand side, his buffalo horn in the left hand side. Under his left arm, he holds his cowherding stick. It's called lagudi. His cowherding stick. In his right hand, he twirls the lotus flower. So he's really busy. Because in this form, he's not showing his four-handed form. Otherwise, if he was Chaturbhuja Narayan, he could manipulate these four items very easily. But in his Naralila, then he's limited. He only has two arms. So one arm he's twirling, one hand, his right hand, he's twirling a lotus flower. And in left hand, he's carrying his cowherding stick, because that's what he needs. He's taking the cows out, so he has to use a stick. The flute and the horn, the singha and vamshi, they're used for calling the cows later, when they wander here and there. So now they'll be using those items, that paraphernalia. And when he's walking out, when he leaves Nandagaon, then he goes south, Dakshin Dig, and he passes through Barsana on his way to Govardhan or any of the Vans, Talavan, Madhavan, Mahavan, any Vans, he goes there, Bahulavan, Kokilavan. So he passes through, and as he's walking, he's twirling this lotus flower in his hand in a very nonchalant way. But actually, that lotus flower represents the hearts and minds of the gopis. Because when they see his beautiful form, their minds and hearts start spinning uncontrollably. So he's just playing. He's twirling them and playing with that lotus. He's going like this. So it's going right, left, right, left, right, left. Back and forth, back and forth. And so the lotus is controlled. So Krishna, of course, is controlling every atom of creation. But his sweet love and form and beauty and dealings and charm certainly controls the heart and minds of the gopis. So he brings this Leela is being mentioned here. And when the coward boys, when they leave the cows to graze in Vrindavan throughout the extensive pasturing fields, they all become absorbed in playing with Krishna. So then at this time, Sridham tells Sridham, he says, "Oh, Sridham, collect all the cows by blowing your buffalo horn. My mother is repeatedly calling me in great anxiety. I understand that my mother is weeping and looking out for me over the forest path, seeing that we are returning late from the meadows. Now it's time to go home. But how can I remain alive without seeing my mother?" So then, responding to this, all the coward boys, they became very enthusiastic to bring the cows back home. So Govinda Lilamrita in chapter 19, it very beautifully describes this Leela, this Aparan Leela, which is soon approaching us. It's a little bit, a couple hours from now. So hearing Krishna's words, the coward boys started collecting the cows. They were wandering here and there in the woods. They were breathing very deeply, in and out, inhaling and exhaling, because of the hard work. But while they were collecting the cows, they were also playing different kinds of games and holding hands with Krishna. Or they were showing their great ecstasy by massaging Krishna's hands and head while walking home. So Krishna, after they collected all the cows, Krishna is just walking along like this. Someone's carrying his cow herding stick. And his lotus flower he's already thrown in the Yamuna, because he did what he had to do with that when he went through Varsana. So as soon as he doesn't hold on to something all day like some kids do. Kids get some toy and they hold on to it day and night. He flipped it in the Yamuna at the earliest advantage. But then coming home, so Krishna's feeling some tired. So one boy's walking on one side of him, pressing his hands. He's just letting his arms hang at his side. And one boy runs up and squeezes his hands. Another squeezes his other hand. Another one's walking behind him, squeezing, massaging his head. Everyone's taking every opportunity to serve Krishna, to give some pleasure to Krishna. They don't want any moment to pass by. They're always looking for service opportunities. This is actually the sign of prema. When prema coats the heart, then one sees opportunities for service. Prema is not passive. Prema is active. Prema is very active. And this Mayavad merging into Brahman is passivity. It's, as Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Devi used to say, merging in Brahman means eternal slumber. Go for a long sleep. Just sleeping. No action. Not even dreaming, because dreaming means duality. There's no duality there. There's not even dreaming. And that sleep, it's dreamless sleep. That's what he said, dreamless sleep. Deep slumber. But the coward boys, they're in prem, Braja prem, Krishna prem, Sakyarati. So they want every moment to touch Krishna, to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, to make Krishna happy. So Krishnas Kaviraj explains, when Krishna returns from the cowherding pastures, the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they come down every day and appear before Krishna. And they start offering all kinds of reverential prayers and praises unto Krishna. Then afterwards they return to their celestial abodes. While all the demigods are offering these elaborate praises to Krishna, the coward boys stand by and listen. And when the demigods leave, they all come before Krishna and imitate their gestures and words. So they all start mocking them. They come before Krishna, they fold their hands, they say, Om Vishnu Paramparam Sada Pashyanti Suryo Jiva Chakshur Tatam Tadvipraso Jigivamsa Saminate Vishnu Yat Param Param. And they start reciting all Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, all these prayers and mocking them actually. They imitate their gestures and words, joking about them and making Krishna laugh. Because as we said, this Narma, laughter is one of the main things that friends do when they come together. When friends come together, laughing is a main feature of their association. These friends who have taken shelter of the feelings of Shuddha Sakya Prem think to themselves, these demigods, they don't really know our friend. When they see Krishna killing a demon, they mistakenly think that he's the Supreme Lord and they start praising him as such. But only we know the secrets about our Krishna. It's all because of Braja Raj Nanda's worship of his Ishtadeva of Lord Narayan, his family deity, his Kula Devata, that our friend Krishna has been empowered by that Lord Narayan so he's able to kill all these demons. Oh, Tata, these demigods, they really don't know. Because they don't know all this, and they're not aware of the secret, they start addressing our friend as Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, said Lord Brahma. They call him Ishvara. If our friend was really God, then why would he steal our food which has already been eaten by us? Our uchishta, right from our hands and start gobbling it up. That's what God would do? And how could he be defeated by us in play? Whenever we wrestle, Sudam, Shridam, they always, Subal, Shridam, they defeat him all the time. If he's invincible, the all-powerful God, then how is that possible? So the Sakas of Krishna that have taken shelter of Shuddha Sakya Prem thus make Krishna laugh with their joking imitations of the prayers of the demigods. So that's why Raghunath is saying in this verse. Premam bodhi vidotta gauravan maha panka. Panka means pankaja. Panka means mud. Gaurava maha panka. The great mud of their awe reverence has been washed away by the ocean of pure fraternal love. So the Gaurava maha panka. Gaurava means awe and reverence, great regard. Prem ambodhi. So their ambodhi, their ocean of the prem, this Shuddha Sakya prem, has washed away any this awe and reverence is compared to be like mud. It's like something, mud is something dirty, something smelly, like these lakes. You go to these forests into some lake, and the bottom of the lake there's some mud, very black mud. This is where the lotuses really thrive. The darker, blacker, stinkier the mud is, the more beautiful the lotus, the more prolific the lotuses are growing. If you go in Orissa or other places, you see some lake and you see some body of water, but if you walk there, oh, you get stuck up to your knees in the mud. So much muck. And you put your hand down there, it's totally black. And if you smell it, oh, it's like hing and sulfur and, oh, it's terrible. Stinking. Stinking, dirty, smelly. But then so many beautiful lotuses are growing there. They take their nourishment. So this Gaurava, this mood of awe and respect and reverence and pomp and majesty and Aishwarya is just like mud. It's like filthy, dirty, stinky, smelly mud covering the sweet brilliance of Ujjvala Braja Prem. Ujjvala Nilamani. This Ujjvala Nilamani, this great gem. This Nilamani means this great blue sapphire of Ujjvala Ras. Ujjvala Ras means Sringhara Ras, the Adi Ras. Sringhara Ras is this Mananaki Mahabhava of Radharani. This is Sringhara, this beautiful, sweet conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Parakiya Bhav. It's Ujjvala Ras. Brilliant, shining like 1,000 carat blue sapphire, emanating a million suns of rays and brilliance. So that beautiful gem, Ujjvala Nilamani, if you submerge it, if you put it in an ocean of mud, of Vaikuntha, it's called Shitala. Shitala Prem, you cripple it. Shitala Prem means Prem which is crippled or diminished by awe and reverence. Like we have Sital Pain Bomb. In Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Sital. Shitala Prem means crippled Prem. So it's very painful. It's very painful to the Lord. So this is like mud covering the Lord. So this is what Raghunath Das Goswami is describing here. This is in his description of the coward boys. So in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, there is some description of the coward boys. This Priya Sakas and Priya Narma Sakas. It's described there that there's different categories. That Krishna's friends are divided into four groups. His well-wishing friends, Surit. Rit means heart. And Su means good, like we say tsunami. So Surit means good-hearted, heartly friends, Surit. That's one category. That's the lowest category. Not low does mean low, but just means they're Surit, but not Su-Surit. They're very heartly friends, well-wishing friends. Then there's ordinary friends, Sakka. Then more confidential friends, Priya Sakka. Then the most intimate friends, Priya Narma Sakkas. So then there's a group of, they describe the names of the different, in the different groups. In his Surit, well-wishing friends, there's Krishna's cousins, Subhadra, Kundala, Dandi, Mandala, Sunanda, Nandi, Anandi. And these friends, these well-wishing friends, they accompany Krishna whenever he herds the cows and calves in Vrindavan. And there's well-wishing friends. And then there's also Mandali Bhadra, Bhadravardhan, Gobhatta, Bhatta Bhadranga, Vira Bhadra, Mahagun, Kulavir, Mahabhim, Divya Shakti, Sura Prabha, Ranastira. These are well-wishing friends also, but they're a little bit older in age. And because they're older in age, their mood of Sakiras is mixed with Vatsalya. So Vatsalya, one of the symptoms of parental love is to protect the child. So they also act to protect Krishna from danger. So they're engaged by the parents of Krishna to protect Krishna. So here, there's some mention also in Brajavilastav of the Suritsaka. This is the first category, Suritsaka. And this particular Saka, he's older than Krishna, which is mentioned. Some are younger, some are older. And the older ones, they have a mood of parental bhav to protect the Lord, although they're Sakas, they're coward boyfriends. So the leader of all the older boys who serve Krishna as his bodyguards, just like big people here have their bodyguards. So Krishna, he's a big person. He also has bodyguards. The idea of bodyguards begins with the original emperor. Sometimes when the DM or the prime minister or the CM comes somewhere, there's so many bodyguards are there. So this is not unusual. Krishna has bodyguards. Even when he goes out to the pasturing grounds, he has bodyguards. So the leader of the bodyguards, Krishna Sakas, his name is Vijay. That's a good name to have for a bodyguard. Vijay means Vishesh Jay. Vishesh means complete, or means special victory. So he means he's completely victorious. So you certainly want a bodyguard like that. It's like having Bruce Lee for your bodyguard. If you have one Bruce Lee, then you can knock off 15 people at once. So that's sufficient. So if you have one Vijay, then you can knock off any kind of demons that might come. So he's described in verse 19 of Brajavilastav. And again, Rati Mandri, the Mandri Sarup, the Nitya Siddha Sarup, Mandri Sarup of Raghunath Das Goswami, is Rati Mandri, and affectionately sometimes called Tulsi, incomparable, Tulsi Mandri, not to be confused with Tulsi Devi or Brinda Devi. But Tulsi Mandri, she is also called Banumati. Mati means intelligence, and Banu means Radharani, Vrishabhanu Nandini. So Banumati means her intelligence, her thoughts, her consideration, her ideas are always fixed on Radharani. So she has three names. Rati Mandri means she's totally attached to Radharani. Rati means is the wife of Kamadev, Rati and Kamadev. Lust is Kamadev and attachment is Rati. That's a good combination. Husband's name is lust and the wife's name is attachment. Kam and Rati, they go together. I don't know which comes first, but they go together, simultaneously arising. So Rati Mandri is a common name for Raghunath Das Goswami's Braj Sarup as one of the Ashtamandris in Lita Sakhi's Gan, in the intimate service of Srimati Radharani. Rati Mandri is in Vishakha Sakhi's Gan. But Lalita Sakhi is the leader of all the Sakhis and all the Mandris. But specifically, Rati Mandri is in Vishakha Sakhi's Gan, and Rupa Mandri is in Lalita Sakhi's Gan. So in verse 19, he describes this Vijay, this leader of all the Surit Sakhas, who act as bodyguards. And he appeared because his mother, who is one of Krishna's famous datris, his mother's name is Ambika, and she was very anxious out of fear of the demons. Her name is Ambika, and she's a wet nurse, technically called datri, and she would serve as a... datri means she would give her milk to Krishna when he was growing up, just like Mother Yashoda, and serve in a motherly way. Ambika and Kalimba, these are two ladies in Vatsalya Ras who were assisting Mother Yashoda in nourishing and protecting and raising Krishna and Balaram. But she was the leader of the two. Ambika is also a name for Durga. It's called Ambika Devi. But Ambika Sakhi is an elderly Sakhi like Yashoda, and she's the leader of the datris. So she was very concerned about Krishna facing all these demons in his youth. I mean, from the time he was 6 years old, he faced a demon. 6 days old. When he was 6 days old, he had to face Putana, such a ferocious Pishachi, 12 miles high, so vast and large. So she was worried from the beginning. She was in the beginning of the pastimes in Gokul. She was always worried about the demons. But what could she do? She was situated at home with Mother Yashoda, always assisting and serving Mother Yashoda. She couldn't accompany Krishna when he went out with the cowherd boys because her rasa was different. Vatsalya Ras. So she performed intense austerities, worshipping the Universal Mother Bhagavati. And she prayed, she performed austerities and worshipped Durga, but not for any material thing or any personal thing, but for Krishna. Just like the gopis worship Katyayani, another form of yoga maya or Durga, to attain Krishna as her husband. Nanda Gopasutam Devi Patim Te Guru Te Namaha. So she worshipped Bhagavati with intense austerities, and Bhagavati gave her darshan and said, "What do you want?" She said, "Please bless me with a very heroic and powerful son. Like a Kshatriya type son will grow up and be able to protect Krishna from the demons." So she was blessed by Mother Bhagavati, by Durga Maa, and she had a wonderful son, and his name was Vijay. Vijay Saka Ki?
Yeah.
So in verse 19, Das Goswami glorifies Vijay. He's the son of Ambika, and he roars. When he roars like a lion, it causes millions of divine universes to burst and blow up. What to speak of the demons, who are more insignificant than insignificant. And he was engaged by his mother Ambika, and always staying near Krishna to protect him. So, he's a very powerful person. It's interesting when you think about the history of the world. From time immemorial, human beings are always praying to God. Praying to God, "Oh God, please protect me from this calamity and that calamity." Even presidents of countries, they will invoke God when there's some national distress. I remember once years ago, the American president, they had sent up some rocket ship with some spacemen, astronauts. There's earthly nuts, terrestrial nuts, and astronauts. People are crazy on the earth, and then they go fly in the sky, then they become crazy sky people. Astral, they go into the astral region. There's taro nuts and astronauts. Terra means earth. Terrain, we say terrain. Terra means earth. So there's taro nuts and astronauts. So these astronauts were up there acting crazy, and they got in trouble. And they lost communication with the Houston home station, and there wasn't anything anyone could do. The computers failed, and they were flying all around crazy up there. So then the president came on the television, and he begged the people of America, "Please, everyone join hands in prayer. Everyone join hands in prayer and pray to God for the safe return of our astronauts." So the idea is that everyone's always praying to God for protection from different kinds of calamities since time immemorial. But now, in Krishna Leela, we see the Brijvasis, they're thinking they have to protect God. Ambika is worried about the protection of God. He who everyone's praying to for their protection, she's taking shelter of a demigod to get his son named Vijay so that he can protect God. She's worrying about his safety. God's in trouble. And Agasura and Putan and all these Bakasura and all these Kali, all these different demons. So true to her prayer, she got this son who's very powerful, and he's very proud. Any great hero is proud. So he displays in this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is glorifying Vijay for his pride, because if someone is a great hero, then he shows his heroism by the way he walks, the way he talks, the way he acts. So he's roaring, "Ah, look at me!" Like you see in the movies, they show some gorilla, and he always pounds on his chest in the jungle. He hits his hands on his chest and shows, "See, look, I'm strong." You know, flexes his gorilla muscles. So Vijay the Gopa, he's roaring, "Krishna, look, ah, see, I'm like a lion. Who can attack you? Who can dare come in front of me?" So this, he's a Suritsaka. There's Suritsakas and Sakas and Priyasakas and Priyanarmasakas, as Rupa was telling us. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Suritsakas are described. Butsalya Gandhi Sakyas Tu Kinchit Te Vayasadika Sayadastasya Dushtebhya Sada Raksha Parayana Subhadra Mandali Bhadra Bhadra Bardana Gobata Yakshendra Bhatta Bhadranga Vira Bhadra Mahaguna Vijayo Balabhadraya Suridastasya Kirtita. This is a repeat of what we heard about the different names of them. But the Suritsakas, what he's saying here, Vatsalya Gandhi Sakyas Tu Kinchit Te Vyas Adhika. Adhika, as we say, Adhikamas. Adhikamas means extra. So Vyas means age. Vyas. So they're a little older. There's the Suritsakas that are a little younger or the same, and then there's Suritsakas that are a little older. So older means protective. Generally in a family, Indian family, if you have an older brother, we have this holiday coming up. Of course, it's Balaram's appearance day. Avirbhav Tithi of Dauji, Balaram. But in general, they call Rakhi Bandhan. Raksha Bandhan. Raksha means protection, where people take shelter of their brothers for protection. And generally, in Indian family, the elder brother is deputed to look after the younger brother or sister, to protect them. And it goes to a great extent, even to the extent that if the parents are insolvent and incapable of earning money, then the elder brother will take a job or even two jobs so that he can collect money to support the family and even to arrange for the marriage of his sister, his younger sister, or even to put his younger brother through college. This type of love, this type of service, this type of protective mood is often there in the cultured families of India, at least. So these Suritsakas, like Vijay, who's under discussion here, they have what Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, third wave, third chapter, verse 22. He says, Vatsalya Gandhi Sakyas. They're a little bit older and they have a Gandha. They have a Gandha, fragrance of protection, a fragrance of Vatsalya, parental love. There's some fragrance there. They're a little older than Krishna and they always take care to protect Krishna with their weapons. And of course, the list is there. During Krishna's Goshta Leela, that's when, of course, the coward boys, primarily, most of the coward boys associate with Krishna when he's herding the cows. They hold different weapons to constantly protect him. As soon as there is any doubt about Krishna's safety, they run forward with their weapons in their hands. So, what does it mean by weapons? It means that these Suritsakas, they carry bows and arrows, they carry swords, they carry lances and maces. They have a full array of bludgeoning instruments of destruction. So generally, you think of these little gentle, soft little coward boys you see in the pictures, ISKCON paintings and pictures. They're all frolicking behind Krishna with their little cherubic smiles, look like little baby cupids without wings, and they have dhotis and cute little puffy cheeks. You never think of them carrying swords and lances and clubs. We never see paintings like that. But this is the picture that's being painted here in the Sanskrit verses of the Goswamis, in the writings of our acharyas. Gopal Champu, by Jiva Goswami, and other books describe specifically the weapons that they carry. So also in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says, Dunvan Davasi Mandalagram Amalam Tvam Mandali Bhadrakim Guravim Narya Gadam Grihana Vijay Shobam Brita Makritaha Shaktim Na Shipa Bhajavardhan Puro Govardhanam Gahate Garja Nesha Ghano Bali Natu Bali Vardakritir Danava. So now you hear, this is from Nectar Devotion. Krishna's, it's not saying right here who's speaking. One coward boy, possibly Krishna, is addressing some of his Suritsakas, the elder boys who act as Krishna's protectors. He's saying, "Oh Mandali Bhadra, why are you running around with this shining sword? Oh Arya," it's another coward boy, Don't pick up this heavy mace. Oh, Vijay, don't be agitated for nothing. Oh, Bajravardhan, don't throw this Shakti weapon for no reason. These are only some clouds rumbling above Govardhan Hill. It's not a large bull demon like Aristasura. So there's so much on the guard. There's so much ready. There's so much ready and ready to jump that because Aristasura had come in and he was bellowing, wah! Bellowing like thunderclouds and pawing at the earth and shaking the whole ground like an earthquake when this huge bull Aristasura came into this area to try to kill Krishna. Then they heard some, it was the monsoon season, all the cowboys were pasturing the cows by Govardhan, and they heard some clouds rumbling in the distance. Boom, 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 boom. No! Aristasura is coming back! And they all pulled out their swords and weapons and started brandishing their shining swords and picked up boulders and Shakti weapons and maces, and they're ready for the attack. And then Krishna said, relax, boys. Cool down. Put back your weapons. It's only some thunderclaps. So in this verse, Das Goswami, he's saying that Vijay, showing his prowess, that he roars so loud, he roars like a lion so loudly, that millions of universes blow up. This is indicating his heroism, as I mentioned. His vira, vira ras. This is one of the gona rasas which support the mukhi rasas. There's seven gona rasas. It's also in this exhibition of its anubhav. It's called an anubhav, where you physically express your bhav, your sakya bhav, by roaring in this case. Rah! This anubhav of a sakya ras, this is another term, is called gona ras. He's exhibiting his heroism or vira ras. And how he's doing it, by roaring. That roaring is called anubhav. This is not at all astonishing, because the companions of the Lord are just as qualified as Krishna himself. So Krishna, all the Shakti he has, is also in his associates. So the coward boys, they have such intimacy with Krishna. So when they see Krishna killing some demon, they never feel any awe and reverence in their minds. What do they think? What do the coward boys think? They become proud. They become proud of Krishna. Oh, my friend is so powerful. We don't have to have any fear when we freely ramble in the forest. So they just feel proud of him. They don't think, oh, he's God. He killed that big demon. Oh, we don't have to be afraid of anything. If we have Krishna by our side, we don't have to be afraid. They nourish their sweet pastimes in this way. So similarly, by roaring, as is mentioned in this verse, Vijay nourishes the Sakya Ras, or feelings of friendship. This indicates his heroism. So the coward boys, when they hear Vijay's roaring and showing his power and his invincibility, they relish it. They relish it. It increases the sweetness of their fraternal love. It increases their love for him and their love for Krishna and the sweetness and intimacy of their dealings. However, when the anti-party, when the demons hear this terrifying roaring, then they become most frightened. They become terrified. So Raghunath is saying, what are those demons? They're insignificant. He said they're the most insignificant of the insignificant in front of the powerful hero named Vijay. So this is a nice point here that about Vijay, Suritsaka, how much mood of protection he has and love he has for Krishna. So keep in mind that all these qualities we're describing, these intensities of intimacy and surrender and attachment for Krishna, these coward boys have, the gopis have, Radharani, Lalita, Rupa, Rati, even more. More of a mood of protection, more a mood of caring and intimacy and appreciation. So this is in Sakya Ras, and above this is Vatsalya Ras, and above that is Madhurya Ras. So one is building on the other, and one includes the previous moods with an accentuated aspect. And finally, they come in their full-blown expression in Madhurya Bhav. So this is how much shows the extent of the affection of Vijay's mother. Vijay's mother is Ambika Devi. And she has so much affection for Krishna that she always wants her son to stay near Krishna, protect him. So this is the mood of the Vrijvasis. This is explained in Brahma Vandanam in chapter 14 of 10th canto, verse 35. Brahmasji is saying, Yadamarta Surit Priyatam Tanaya Pranashayas Tatkrite. He's saying that Dharamart Surit Priyatam Priyatma Tanaya Pranashayas Tatkrite. He's saying for the Brijvasis, everything that they have is, whatever they have, it's all for Krishna. And whatever they don't have, they hope to get it for Krishna's pleasure. This is nice. So for Brijvasis, their bodies, their homes, their children, their relatives, everything is offered for Krishna's pleasure. So whatever they have, it's all for Krishna. Whatever they don't have, they hope to get it. And of course that hope is encouraged by verses that Krishna speaks himself in Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintiyanto mam ye jana paripashate tesha nitya vyuktanam yoga kshemam bahamyaham. For those who are ananya bhaktas like the Brijvasis, or any fully surrendered devotee of the Lord, an ananya bhakta who has no other agenda but the pleasure and service of Krishna, then whatever they have, then that will be increased for Krishna's pleasure and accepted for Krishna's service. And whatever they don't have, which they hope to get, that will be provided in due course of time also. Just like we hope to have a pure spiritual body so we can render service throughout the day and night. And at this juncture in time, we don't have our pure siddha-sarup. But by intense performance of devotion and by complete and perfect surrender, that will be also awarded to us. That is given to us by Sarup Shakti. Sarup Shakti arranges. So that Sarup Shakti is Krishna. Sarup Shakti is Krishna's Antaranga Shakti. It's Krishna himself. So we hope to have, like it says here, what we don't have, we hope to get for Krishna's pleasure. So Krishna can't really be pleased very much with a stool body. Our stool body can't enter into the Aprakriti Leela. We need a Prakriti Deha. Our body is Prakriti. It's made of Prakriti. So the material body cannot enter into the fiery atmosphere of spirit. So we need a spiritualized body. First spiritualized, then spiritual. So that's called a Prakriti Deha. So that will be given to us. So what we don't have for Krishna, what we don't have, we hope to get just for Krishna's pleasure. And that's our spiritual body. And that will come to us by the mercy of the Lord. So this Vijay, this Surit Sakha. Now if we want to go on, we can discuss the next category would be Priyasaka. And he's also, of course, there's many Priyasakas which we can read about in the Radha Krishna Ganadesha Deepika. So now we're describing this, the Priyasakas. And here Raghunath Das Goswami is glorifying in verse 21. Krishnas yoche pranaya vasati sampravina sakinam shamangas tat samaguna vayovesha sondarya darpaha snehad bando shanam akalanaj jayati yovadutaha shridamanam hari sahacharam sravadatam prapadye. So here in this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is taking shelter of Sridhama, at the feet of Sridhama, who is Hari's best friend. He is the greatest object of Krishna's love. And he's the most expert of Krishna's friends. And what does he look like? He has a shamangas. Sham anga, his body, his limbs are blackish, bluish black like Krishna. And he's very proud of having the same qualities, age, dress, and beauty as Krishna. And becomes very unsteady when he's separated from his friend for even a moment. This is Snehad. Snehad, Shanam Alakanat Jayati Avaduta. We heard the word avadut. Avadut means unpredictable. What he'll say, what he'll do, what he'll wear. So avadut also means unsteady. Snehad bando. Sneha bando. Like we say, dina bandhu. So his sneha, his intense affection for Krishna, his affection for Krishna is so intense. Shanam. Alakanaj. Alakanaj means without seeing Krishna. If he doesn't see Krishna for a moment, then he becomes very unsteady and is very disturbed. So the Sridham is a very special person. Just like this Priya Narma Sakhi. Parama Prishta Sakhi Vishaka Sakhi. Vishaka means no branch. Vishaka, no difference. Vishaka is born on the same day as Radharani. She's born on the same time as Radharani. She's born in the same place in Barsana. Not exactly Barsana, but nearby Barsana. And she has the same mood, she has the same bhava as Radharani, and the same qualities as Radharani, and the same color as Radharani. She's like Radharani in every way. That's why she stands next to Radharani. She's her intimate sidekick. So as Radharani has Vishakha, then Krishna has Sridham. So Sridham, who is Sridham? Sridham is Radharani's older brother. So it's very nice that the color of Sridham is Sham. Very interesting. Radharani is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. She's Gaurangi. And he's Shamanga. Shamanga and Gauranga. Gaurangi, feminine. So she's Gaurangi. Her limbs, her body are brilliant gold, like gold melted 1,000 times. Tadit Suvarna Champaka. Tadit Suvarna Champaka. Like lightning and golden champak. And molten gold. Her body is so effulgent and so attractive. And her brother, her elder brother, who has the same mother and same father, his body is black. Her body is gauri and his body is sham. Why? Because he is there to remind Radharani of sham. Shamanga. Sham means sham. Sham means Krishna. So if you live in a house with your older brother, and every time you see your older brother, you see this beautiful sham color, then what do you think? You think of Krishna. So this is why he's appearing in that color. Because he's, maybe we can't say, but he's blackish in complexion because he's so much absorbed in Krishna. Acharyas sometimes say that Krishna, it's even told also, that Balaram, sometimes he's so absorbed in serving Krishna that he becomes blackish in color. His body turns black. So look at Sridham. He's the best friend. He has the same guna. Guna, vayas, vesh, and sondarya. The same qualities, age, dress, and beauty as Sri Krishna. How old is Sri Krishna?
15 years. 7 months. Nine months and seven and a half days.
15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. How old is Radharani?
14 years, 2 months, and
15 days. 14, 2, 15, 15, 9, 7.5. So that means that Sridham is the same relationship. He's as old as Krishna, so he's almost a year or two older than Radharani. Year and some months older than Radharani. So what are the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the characteristics of the Priya Sakas? Vayastulya Priya Saka Sakyam Kevalam Ashrita Sri Dama Chasudama Chadama Chavasudamaka Kinkini Stoka Krishnam Shu Vajrasena Vilashina Pundarika Vitankaksha Kalavinkadayo Pyami Ramayanti Priya Saka Kilibir vivide sada niyudha danda yudhadi kotuker apikeshavam. Those cowherd boys who are equal to Krishna in age, vayas tulya, and have exclusive fraternal love for him are called priyasakas. So this is the priyasakas. Priyasaka sakyam kevalam ashrita. Kevala Sakiras, Kevala Sakiras. They've taken shelter of Kevala Sakiras, pure Sakiras. They're Sridham, Sudham, Dham, Vasudham, Kinkini, Stoka Krishna. Amshu Bhadrasena Vilasi Pundarik Vitanka Kalavinka. They constantly delight Sri Krishna with games like arm wrestling and stick fighting. they fight each other with sticks and arm wrestle. And regular wrestling also. So of all, the greatest of these Priyasakas is Sridham. So Rupa Goswami also describes the form. What does Sridham look like? We heard that he has shamangas. He has a darkish, bluish-black complexion, just like Krishna. And we heard that he has the same qualities. It says, shamangas tat samaguna vayo vesha sondarya dharpa. Sondarya dharpa. He has the same samagun, same qualities, samavayu, same age, samavesh, same dress, samasondarya. He's as beautiful as Krishna. So not only his blue body reminds Radharani of Krishna, when Radharani sees the beauty of her brother, she thinks of Krishna also. So now he describes more, Rupa Goswami describes more about his form. Vasa pingam vibratam shringa panim bada sapardam suridam madhavena tam roshni sham shama dama viramam shridamanam dama vajam bhajami. Rupa Goswami is praying, I worship Sridham, who wears a dress which is a mixture of blue and yellow. Oh, that's interesting. Like Krishna. Krishna wears, well, he wears mostly yellow. He holds a bugle horn in his hand. He wears a copper-colored turban. His complexion is blackish and very enchanting. He wears a garland of forest flowers around the neck, and he lovingly exchanges challenges with Madhav. His friendship is also most extraordinary. So oftentimes, Sridham wrestles with Krishna and defeats Krishna, and Krishna has to carry him on his shoulders. And other times, Sridham is very proud. It says here, Raghunathas is glorifying with Dharpa. Dharpa means pride. Generally, pride is some demoniac quality. But here it's described as the most pure spiritual quality, because he's proud of his strength. And he boasts to Krishna, oh, you think you're so strong, I defeated you so many times. And you lifted Govardhan Hill. You get all the credit as Giridhari, but I also put my stick up there. And other boys put our sticks too. If we didn't hold our sticks up there, you would have lost your stick. Just like sometimes people ask the question, why did Krishna hold Giriraj up with his left arm instead of his right arm?
To display that it does not require strength.
No, I'm saying, why did Krishna use his left arm instead of his right arm? That was actually Krishna held Govardhan with his right arm to announce to the people that actually that without power you can't do anything. If you have no power, you can't do anything. You may have wires and light bulbs and fans and air conditioners and heaters and mixies and TVs and blenders, but if someone cuts the electric wire connecting you to the powerhouse, then you can't run any of your appliances or run any of your light bulbs or any household amenities. So without the power, you can't do anything. So Krishna, the source of Krishna's power is Sarva Shakti Mayi. Radharani is the source of all Krishna's power. And the Shakti is always situated on the left side. Left-hand side of Narayan is Lakshmi. Left-hand side of Ram is Sita. Left-hand side of Krishna is Radha. So Krishna lifted with his left arm, because that represents that I'm drawing all the Shakti from my left side. And my left side, Radharani, is eternally situated, either manifest, prakat, or aprakat. So this, the reason Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill with his left arm is to prove that I can only do this great feat by drawing energy, by drawing potency and power and Shakti from Shakti Mayi Radha, who is always situated eternally on my left side. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Yeah. So in this same nectar devotion, Sridham, he speaks to Krishna because during the cowherding pastime, Aparan Leela, in the morning, Krishna left all the coward boys at Gwalpakur and he went off to Radhakund, and maybe he only went there with his Priyanarmasakas. Sridham is a Priyasaka, but he's not a Priyanarmasaka. And we'll describe those next. Priyanarmasakas are a little more confidential, a little more intimate. They include Subal and Madhumangal. So although Sridham is a Priyasaka, and he has the same qualities, age, dress, and beauty as Krishna, his bhav is a little bit different. So he doesn't have that, he doesn't share in that sakhi bhav. He doesn't have that sakhi bhav that the Priyanarmasakas have. But after Krishna returned from his pastimes at Radhakund with all the gopis, and he again met up with all his coward boys, including Sridham. Sridham had a few words to say to Madhav. He said, Tvam na projva kotora jamuna tate kasmad akasmad gato nischya dristim itosi hanta nividasha leshe sakin prinaya bruma satyam adarshane tavamanakka denava kevayam kim goshtam kim abhishtam idyarchita sarvam viparyasyati. Sridham said to Krishna, O cruel one, why did you abandon us so suddenly on the bank of the Yamuna? Fortunately, we got you back now. So now satisfy your friends with a firm embrace. O Krishna, I'll tell you the truth. In separation from you, the cows, we ourselves, the pasturing grounds, indeed, all desirable objects become unattractive within a moment. So that's why in this verse he's reaffirming Das Goswami's statement in this verse number 21 that Sridham feels avadut, very unsteady. Shanam snehad, shanam avaduta. When he can't see Krishna for a moment, then he becomes very disturbed, very agitated, unsteady. So these friends, they have such exclusive dedication for Krishna. And these friends in Braj are always enjoying with Krishna. And they're very upset, even when they're separated from him for half a moment. Or Krishna is their very life. So in the Gambhir Leela of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Puri, Kshetra Dham, Vipralamba Kshetra, Sri Kshetra, in the last moments of his life, in the great separation of Radharani after Krishna went to Mathura, when Uddhava came with the message, Brahmar Gita, that intense mood of separation of Radharani was feeling. Mahaprabhu was feeling the same mood. And he was describing the intensity of separation that the gopis feel in Shikshastakam. Yagayitam namesena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagatsavam govinda virahiname. In Govinda viraha, in separation from Govinda, they feel a nimesha, a blink of an eye. The time it takes to blink an eye feels, tortures them like a yuga. When they can't see Krishna for a split second, they feel like they haven't seen Krishna for millions of years. One yuga is means chaturyuga. One yuga means, this yuga means, yugaita means chaturyuga. Chaturyuga means satyakala, satyatreta dvapara kali, which is about 4 million years separation. So they feel so much separation from Krishna. But that's there, that's an expression of Madhurya Bhav, of Mananakya Mahabhava of Radharani, intense separation in conjugal love. But this separation is also there in Vatsalya, and also there in Sakiras, which is mentioned here in this verse by Das Goswami. Snehad Bando, Shanam, Akalanaj Jayati Avadutaha. They have so much sneha. The sakas, the Priyanarma sakas, they have so much sneha, or deep affection for Krishna, that shanam, even a moment, they become unsteady. They become very unsteady and they practically faint. Of course, it's not the same intensity of unsteadiness of the gopis, but it's a different intensity. But they feel like that. Just if they're playing with Krishna, and he suddenly he goes behind a tree, He slips behind a tree to play looky-looky hide-and-seek. And they can't see him. Then they, oh, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Where's he gone? And they start crying. Oh, we lost Krishna. We lost Krishna. So they feel so much of this pain and separation. Because Krishna's are very prananath. He's their very life. So Sridham is the greatest object of Krishna's love. So this word in the verse, he's using this word pranaya. Krishna uche pranaya vasati sampravina sakinam. So sakinam means, in this case, sampravina. That Sridham is the most expert of the sakas, and he is a pranaya vas. Uchai pranaya vas. Ucho means the greatest abode of pranaya. Pranaya is a type of love. In the realm of prem, spiritual love of God, there's sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. So in sakiras, the love goes sneha, and then goes up to pranaya. Pranaya, then sneha, man, pranaya. Not so much man, but they have sneha, pranaya, and rag. So there, this verse is describing pranaya. So what is this pranaya? Pranaya means like pran. My life. I can't live without you. Your life is my life. My life is your life. So this advanced stage of prema is called pranaya. And sometimes described that vishramba. This is, like we say, in this sakiras, there's two types of sakiras, friendship. One is called vishramba sakiras. And one is called Gaurava Sakiras. So Gaurava Sakiras is Sakiras which is mixed with on reverence. It's mixed with a mode of dasya. It's on reverence. It's not so much intimate. But Vishramba, this Vishramba is a Sakiras you find in Braj. For example, it's said that Arjuna is Krishna's friend. Arjuna is in Vaikuntha with Krishna. And all the Pandavas have their planet there. So that rasa that the Pandavas, of course different ones have different rasa, but the five Pandavas, especially Arjuna, the rasa that he's relishing with Krishna is called Sakiras. It says that he's Saketi. You see this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Saketi Mam. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are my Saketi, you are my Saka, you are my friend. And it's a fact, he's his friend. But this type of friendship has awe and reverence. There's some fear in this friendship. There's some formality. There's some distance. And that's why it's called Gaurava. Gaurava Sakiras. And the example is there. When Krishna showed his universal form, Virat Rup, then Arjuna became frightened. He said, oh, I'm very fearful. Please remove this form and show me again your two-hand form. And then he became so fearful, he became apologetic and started begging forgiveness. Oh, my friend, I called you my friend, and I sat on the same bed with you, and I ate with you intimately, and please forgive me for all that. So this is the lower type of friendship. But in Braj, there's only Vishramba Sakiras, which means intimate friendship, where I can ride on your shoulders, I can take the uchishta, the spent food from your mouth, I can take it from your mouth or from your hand. I have no fear of you. If you show Virat Rup or any type of Rup, I say, oh, very good, that's nice. Okay, let's play. That doesn't mean anything. It increases my love. So this is called Vishramba. So this Vishramba, this turns into Pranaya. Vishramba Priyajanena Saha Sasyabeda Mananam. So what is Vishramba? Vishramba means that the lover feels that he's non-different from the beloved. This means that the limbs like hands and feet of the beloved are felt as non-different from one's own hands and feet. So Pranaya is the birthplace of Sakiras. And Sridham is the leader of the Priya Sakas. So he holds the chief post in Pranaya. That's why it's told here that Krishna Uchai Pranaya Vasudhi Sakinam. Of all the Sakas, of all the Surid Sakas, he has the most Pranaya. So you feel, pranaya means, pran means my life force. Your life force, my life force. It's like we are one soul and two bodies. Like these Hindi love songs. Do sharir ek atma or whatever. So this is pranaya. It's a great intimacy. So he's, and it says here in this verse where Agnatas Goswami is saying that Sridham, he's proud, Darpa. What is he proud of? He's proud of Krishna and his relationship with Krishna. He's proud that he has the same qualities as Krishna. He's not proud of his qualities. He's proud of Krishna's qualities, which he also has. He has, it says he has, it says here, Samagun, Samavayu, Vayas, age, Samavesh, Samasundarya. So his pride is not really in himself. His pride is in Krishna. And that's legitimate. That's permissible. A disciple can be proud of his guru or proud of his Krishna or proud of his Gaur, but not proud of himself. Oh, I'm so learned. I'm so expert. I'm so rich. I'm so wealthy. I'm so powerful. That is all demoniac pride. Asura sampat. That's the wealth of the demon. Dumba, Darpa. But here he's proud that he has the same qualities as Krishna. And Sridham is proud that he has the same dress as Krishna. Sridham is proud that he's the same age as Krishna. And Sridham is proud of his saundarya, because he has the same saundarya or beauty as Krishna. So because he's so equal to Krishna in form and qualities and dress, Sridham doesn't have any feelings of hesitation and reverence. So this is the quality. So this is also mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupavesha gunadyais tu samam samyag yatrita vishramba sambritatmano vayasyas tasya kirtita. Rupa Goswami is glorifying Sridham by saying, although this is said about all the friends of Krishna, there is a special part about Sridham, and everyone knows that. So even the other coward boys, they understand the special role that Sridham plays among the Surit, among the Priya Sakas. So during the Govardhan Leela, it's also described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the coward boys are recognizing and acknowledging the supremacy or the supreme position of Sridham. So then they say this. Unidrasya yayustavatra viratim sapta shapastatishto hanta shanta ivasi nikshipa sake shidama pano girim adi vidyati nastram marpaya karekim va shanam dakshane jasnaste karavama kamam aruna savyasya samvahanam. O Saka, they're speaking to Krishna. The coward boys are speaking to Krishna. Oh friend, oh Saka, you've been standing here for 7 nights without sleeping. Oh, you must be very tired. So now please hand over the mountain of Govardhan to Sridham. We feel very distressed when we see you suffering like this. Oh Krishna, otherwise, if you won't do that, then just switch the mountain to your right hand for a while, and then we will nicely massage your left arm. So this is proof from Rupa Goswami, from the mouths of the coward boys, that they consider that of all the sakas, that Sridham is equal to Krishna. Because they're saying, oh, Krishna can lift the hill, and you can also, Sridham. That's why Raghunath Das Goswami is saying that Sridham has Samagun, Samavayas, Samavesh, and Samasundari. He has the same qualities. So one of Krishna's qualities, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yasushashriya. This is the Aishwarya definition of God. Aishwarya definition of Godhead, his vibhutis, his qualities, his strengths, which is also Madhurya definition. But in his Aishwarya definition, it says that he is the strongest. He's the wealthiest, he's the strongest, he's the most beautiful, most renounced, and so it says he's the strongest. So that's a gun, that's a Bhagavan gun, a quality of Bhagavan. So Sridham, he has all the qualities of Bhagavan, so he also has his unlimited strength. So now more about this pride. So this shloka, this pride is darpa or dumba is mentioned here, that Sridham is proud. And pride is also listed as one of the 33 vyabhacharis, or sancharis, sanchari bhav, which go into making up the ras, the taste of sakhi ras. So this is a It's a transitory ecstasy. It comes and goes in the fraternal love. And it moves the course of ecstatic love. It creates more enthusiasm. You can imagine, if you're wrestling with your friend and no one displays pride, then there won't be much happiness in the wrestling. You wrestle him and he throws you down or he defeats you. But before the wrestling match, he starts speaking so many boastful words. Oh, you don't have a chance with me. You think you can defeat me? Look at your arms. Your arms are like lotus stems. You're Abala. You're not Balaram. You're Abala. You're Balaram, but you're Balaram. You have no strength. You're Abala. You're like Gopi. Another word for woman is Abala. Abala means no strength. Sometimes they describe women in poetry and sahitya. Say Abala. Abala means Abal, no strength. They have no strength. I mean physical strength. So he's saying, you're Balaram, you're Abala. Very proud words Sri Ram will say. And Balaram says, yeah, alright, we'll find out. You'll find out. So this increases the ecstasy in this Sakiras, this display. So this, in the mood of friendship, and there are games like wrestling with Krishna, the coward boys, they make Krishna very happy when they display their pride. It increases Krishna's happiness. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains how Sridham showed his pride when he was about to wrestle with Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna. Kalindi tata bhuvipatra shringa vamshi nikvaner ihamukhari kritam varayam vispurjan agadamanena yodu kama Sridhama parikaram udbatam babanda. On the bank of the Yamuna, Kalindi Tata, the sky was filled with sounds of leaves, horns, and flutes. Leaves means, it's called panpipe. Horn is buffalo horn, and flutes, it says the sound of leaves, it actually means panpipe. That they take, the boys, that's like sometimes children, they take a piece of grass and they split it, and they put it in their mouth and they make a whistling sound with a piece of grass. So they take leaves, they take different leaves from trees, and they fold them in a certain way that you can make a mouth organ, like a pipe. It's called panpipe. They can blow it. So they make different noises for entertaining each other or calling the cows. The horns, panpipes. So that everyone's tooting and blowing their horns. And Sridham showed his pride by tightly tying his cummerbund around his waist and preparing to fight with Krishna. So in Krishna Bhavanamrita, Vishnu Chakravartipad, he very nicely describes how this pride nourishes the Sakiras. And that's what transitory emotions do. Sanchari means like a wave. Sanchari means a wave. So Sanchari Bhavs, or these transitory ecstasies, that like the ocean is a Stai Bhav of Sakiras. But if an ocean has no waves, it looks very boring. But then some wave comes and it creates more excitement in the ocean, more attraction, more thrill, more feeling, more enjoyment in the experience of the ocean. So the same thing, the experience of friendship, if there's no waves, no anger, no pride, no emotions being displayed, then it's like a dead relationship. There's no excitement, there's no variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment, our Gurudev once said. So it's a fact. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. And in Krishna's Leela, there's unlimited variety and unlimited pleasure. Anandamaya Vyasat. So, Vishnu Chakravarti, he's explaining about this Darpa, this Dhamma, how this transcendental pride of Sridhama nourishes the brotherly love or friendly love or Sakiras of Krishna and all his gopas. It's a very nice explanation in chapter 16 of Bhavanamrita, verses 5 through 8. They were playing ball, and that pastime is also there at Kaliagat. They were playing ball, and Sridham threw the ball in the Yamuna, and it went, flowed down to Dwarasaditya Tila, and Krishna had to jump in and get it. It's another pastime. We told them, I think, maybe on the Braj Parikrama. So while playing ball, Sridham spoke proudly to Krishna. He's very proud, as usual, boasting. He says, "Oh, why are you trying to play ball with me? I just you throw one ball and I'll." Because they would play ball sometimes with actual balls, or they would use amalaki fruit or bale fruit, bilvafal or amalaki. Then they would have ball, they would have bats, and they would play a type of cricket or baseball, whatever. One would throw the ball and knock it. And they would just throw back and forth, play catch, as they say. So that Sridham was boasting, and then Krishna said, "Are Sridham, what are you saying? Don't you remember that the stories of my glories busted open your ears and I almost crushed your body? I almost crushed your whole body with my bolt-like arms wielding a rod when we were stick fighting. If you desire your own welfare, then you better run away from here right now after hearing the word arm fight." Arm wrestling. You just hear the word arm wrestling, you better run away before I break your whole body. Sridham replied, "Sridham is famous as the abode of power. He has been victorious in the past, he is victorious, and he will remain victorious in the future. That can be seen on your shoulders." Because after, in a previous pastime in the Bhagavatam, Sridham defeated Krishna in one game, and Krishna had to carry him on his shoulders. And Balaram carried Pralambasura. Remember that? Pralambasura was being carried by Balaram, and then he tried to kill Balaram. But then Sridham goes on, you still diminish your own glories by showing your restlessness with your angry and proud face. Listen, you're so proud of killing all those demons, but this is your pride has no basis. Because everyone knows the Brahmanas kill Putana with their mantras. It's called Pishachi Nashana mantras. Because as soon as she took Krishna in the sky, then the Brahmanas started chanting. They have mantras, white tantra, whatever. "And did you enter Agasura's belly by yourself?" Agasura is a big snake, so everybody went in there. Actually, Krishna went last. Everybody went first. But he's saying, you went in by yourself? Now we don't even count Bakasura. That's a big duck demon. "And if you proudly say, well, listen, I lifted Govardhan Hill, then do you know what I say to that? I say that Govardhan Hill lifted up in the air by itself, being pleased with our Govardhan Puja. It rose in the air by itself. All you had to do is stand under it and touch the bottom with your hand. It was already up in the air by itself. So why are you so proud?" So this conversation is called Rasodgar. In this section of Krishna Bhavanamrita, it's called Rasodgar. And Chandan Kala Sakhi is actually reiterating or narrating this pastime between Krishna and Sridham to Radharani in Aparan Leela. And when she is returned to Yavat, or Varsana, and she's feeling great separation from Krishna. So then Chandana Kala, she comes and she's like Chandan. She comes like Chandana, which is soothing, cooling sandalwood, and she cools Radharani's burning heart with her sandalwood-like words, which are very refreshing to her ears and heart, by reminding her, giving her some Harikatamritam Tapta Jivanam. Because Tapta Jivanam, her jiva, her life force, her pran, her prem pran is being tapped. Tapta means burning up. Is burning up in separation from Krishna, although she just spent 6 hours with him at Radhakund and Suryakund. But Radharani's lying on a bed of flowers, being fanned with a banana leaf or a lotus leaf, and there's camphor sprinkled on her forehead, and she's just burning up in separation, and Chandan Kala comes. In a very Kala means very artistic way and poetic way, she speaks about the glories of Krishna, Tavakatamritam Tata Jivanam. The nectar of Krishna's pastimes is being poured into Radharani's ear and extinguishing the burning pangs and fire of her separation. So she's called Chandan, Chandanakala. That lady who very artistically speaks, and her speech cools off Radharani like Chandan, soothing sandalwood paste on the forehead in the burning summer. So Radharani's heart is burning in the scorching summer sun of separation from Krishna. So after saying this, she says, "Oh Radha, in this way Krishna became very enthusiastic to fight with his friends, who worshipped his splendid rays of millions of hearts by sprinkling him with the nectar drops of their proud words." So this is Sridham. He's an abode of pranaya, Sakya Pranaya Sakya Ras, intense loving mood towards Krishna. He's Radharani's elder brother. He's very proud and gives great pleasure to Krishna. So we pray that somehow we may attain the mercy of Sridham, who is the object of Krishna's great love, and the leader of all Krishna's sakas and surit, or this priya sakas. And he's always blissfully proud of the fact that he's equal to Krishna in beauty, qualities, dressing, and age. And he's very much agitated by the pangs of loving unsteadiness when he does not see Sri Govinda for a moment. Sri Govinda Priya Saka Sri Rama Namajara Sarvada Tahari Paya Akanksha Amar Sri Ram Saka Ki Jai. From this discussion, from the words of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami glorifying the Nityaparishads of the Lord in Vrindavan, the Brijvasis like Sridham and Vijay, we can understand that everything is perfect there when it's connected with the center. Pride is perfect, stealing is perfect, lying is perfect, everything is perfect when it's connected with Krishna and for Krishna's pleasure. But when everything is separated from Krishna, even good things become imperfect and bad things are naturally imperfect. So that's why Krishna's Kaviraj is saying in Chaitanya Charitamrita, conceptions of good and bad in this world are irrelevant. There's really nothing good and nothing bad. So everything is disconnected with Krishna. Because Krishna is telling in Gita that pride is the demoniac quality which drives one to hell and repeated birth and death and suffering. Pride is an enemy. It's the antithesis of bhakti. Bhakti is standardized by humility, and pride is the enemy of humility. Pratishtha, pride, position, adoration, distinction, these are all enemies of pure devotion. But here we see with the purest of the pure devotees, like Sridham and Sakiras, that pride is glorified. Pride is glorified. Stealing in this world is condemned and become punished for it and become infamous for it. But in that world, Krishna is famous for stealing. It's very interesting. So here we can think about how everything is perfect and purified when it's connected with Krishna. So now, and continue our discussion of the coward boys, Krishna's coward boyfriends, we go on to the Priyanarma Sakas. Priyanarma Sakas are also described in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika by Rupa Goswami. And we can read about that. It says here in the Radha Krishna Ganesh Deepika that the Priyanarma Sakas, they are the most important of Krishna's intimate friends. It says here, Hata Priyanarma Sakaha Subalarjuna Gandharva Vasant Ojvala Kokila Sanandana Vidagdadya Priyanarma Sakha Mataha. These are Krishna's Priyanarma Sakas, most intimate friends. Subal, Arjun, Gandharva, Vasant, Ujvala, Kokila, Sanandana, and Vidagda. These are the most important of Krishna's intimate friends. And these are the eight. They're sometimes called the Ashtasakas. And then they have their kunjas. They have kunjas around Shamakund. There's Radhakund, and surrounding Radhakund are the eight kunjas of the Sakis, Ashtamanjaris. Lalita Vishaka, Chitra Champak, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Tungavidya, and Induleka. Then surrounding the banks of Shamakund, there are the kunjas of the Ashtasakas. Subal, Arjun, Gandharva, Vasanta, Ujjala, etc. And these kunjas are their kunjas for serving Krishna and serving Radha and Krishna together. But generally it's told that they've turned over the control or the caretaking of these kunjas to different sakis. Like Sanandan, this one saka, Sanandana, he has a kunja on the southwestern corner of Shamkund, and he's turned that over to Anangamanjari. Of course, Anangamanjari is Radharani's younger sister, and she has a kunja situated in the middle of Radhakund, floating, it's like an island, situated in the middle of Radhakund, very special kunja. But she has a second kunja. She oversees the kunja of Sanandanasaka. And that kunja extends, the kunja, the groves and forests of that kunja extend quite a large distance and includes this bhajan kutir and these trees and these flowers and all these plants we see are all part of Anangamanjari's kunj. That's why the unspoken name of this place is Anangaranga Da Kunj. Da means dadati, to give, that which gives the play of Ananga or Cupid to Krishna and Radha. So we are very fortunate to be in Sanandana's kunj or Anangamanjari's kunj. As much as we can realize that, that's as much as devotion we have to Radha Kunda and to Krishna. That would take quite a bit of development. But there's some description of the qualities of these Priyanarmasakas, and specifically we'll describe Subal. But in general, it's told by Rupa Goswami, Tadrahasyam tunastyeva yad amisham nagocharaha madho mangala pushpanka hasan kadya vidushaka shiman sanandanas tatra sarida ananda sundaraha murtiman eva rasarad ujvalascha mahojvalaha vilasi shekaro yasya vilasena vashikritaha. Translation: Krishna keeps no secrets from his Priyanarmasakas, most intimate friends. Among these Priyanarmasakas are Madhumangal and Pushpanka and Hasanka are the leaders of those fond of joking. So those are the Vidushakas. Vidushaka, they're like the court jesters. In medieval times, the court jesters, the jokers, the jesters, the funny guys. They're not among the Ashtasakas. We mentioned the Ashtasakas. But they are in the category. There's Priyanarmasakas, and of them, eight of them are the Priyanarmasakas, and then Madhumangal is also there as a Priyanarmasaka. Handsome Sanandana is very pleased by his close friendship with Krishna, and splendid Ujvala appears like the personified ruler of all transcendental mellows. It says rasa rat. Rasa, like we have samrat, so he's a rasa rat, the monarch of rasa. Ujvala. Krishna, the crest jewel of playful boys, is submissive to his dear friend Ujvala. Vashikrita. Vashi means controlled by or subjugated by. It's described here about Subal. Subalasya gora kantir nila vastra manohara nana ratna vibhushitango nana pushpa vibhushitaha. Subal has fair complexion, gora kanti. He wears handsome blue garments, nila vastra manohara. He's translating manohara as handsome. Nilavastra, Manohar. I mean, Hara means to steal, and Man means the mind. That is, garments are so attractive and so pleasing. Why? Because they're, and especially they're Manohar for Radharani, because they're Nilavastra. So when Radharani sees Subal's garments, then her mind becomes stolen. Nana Ratna Bhushitango. He's decorated with many kinds of jewels and flowers, Nana Pushpa Vibhushita. So it's very and it describes Subal's age. It says he's 12 and a half years old, and he glows with youthful luster. Kaishura Vayasa Ujvala. Although he's Krishna's friend, he is immersed in serving in many different ways. So he, of course, is in Sakiras, but he has more, his mood is very much mixed with Dasya. That's why he said there's no pure Dasya in Braj, everything's mixed. Just like we heard Vijay. Vijay is a Sakha. He's a friend of Krishna, Sakiras. He's called Surid, Surid Sakha, very heartly friend. But his Sakiras is mixed with what? Vatsalya. Remember? Vatsalya Snigda has a fragrance. Or what was it? Vatsalya Gandhi. Vatsalya Gandhi means it's mixed with Sakya Vatsalya Gandhi. It's mixed with a fragrance of parental love. So here, Subal, he is Krishna's friend. He's a little bit younger. See, generally those who are younger have the mood of Dasya more, or some Dasya. And those who are older have the mood of a parent. So he's younger. Krishna's 15 and he's 12. So he's Krishna's friend. He's a Priyanarmasaka, and he's one of the most dear friends of Krishna. But he's very much immersed in serving Krishna. It says, Samasrita Nana Seva Upari Plutaha. Plutaha, it says, Nana Seva Upari Plutaha. Plutaha means immersed, drowning, submerged in a mood of seva. And he's taking shelter there, Samasrita. What type of seva does he do? What type of seva does Subal do? Dvayor milana naipunya maduro bhava bhavita nana guna sukho peta Krishna priyattamo bhavit. Subal is expert at arranging the meeting of the divine couple. He is charming and full of transcendental love for them. Nipun means very expert. So he's full of transcendental love for the divine couple. Madhura bhava bhavitaha. So it says charming. Bhava bhavita, full of love. He's charming. Madhura bhava bhavita. Madhura bhava means that actually he has Saki bhava and Madhura bhava also. Subal, and we'll hear more about that. But this translation is charming. Madhura bhava bhavitaha. So he has some Madhura bhava. That's why he assists Krishna with his pastimes of the gopis, because he has Madhura bhava. So his Sakiras is mixed with Dasya, Sakya, and Madhur, all three. He is cheerful and full of good qualities. He is very dear to Krishna. So this is Subal, who is being glorified in verse 22. Of Brajavilastava by Raghunath Das Goswami. Right now he's talking about the Priyanarmasakas, and specifically he singles out Subal. Gadanuraga Bharato Virahasya Bhitya Swapnevigo Kula Vidora Na Jahati Hastam Yuradika Pranaya Nirjara Sikta Chetas. Shikta Chetas. Tam Prema Vivala Tanam Subalam Namami. Radhika Pranaya. I offer my obeisances unto Subal. Subalam Namami. The embodiment of overwhelming love. Gada Anuraga. Bharata. Bharata means filled with. Who loves Krishna, the moon of Gokul. Gokul Vidu. So much that even in dreams he won't let go of Krishna's hand, afraid he will be separated from him, and whose heart is showered by the stream of Sri Radhika's love. So this Nirjara Sikta Chaitaha. His chitta, his consciousness, his heart, Nirjara Sikta, is sprinkled with a stream of Radhika Pranaya. We said we talk about Pranaya the Gopas, but now this is Radhika Pranaya in Madhuras. So it's when Rupa Goswami is saying Madhura Bhava Bhavita, he knows what he's talking about. His Madhura is Radhika Pranaya. that madhura, that sweetness, that madhura that is mentioned by Rupa Goswami and Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, that madhura is Radhika Pranaya, that intense sweetness of Radharani's intimate love. Because the Priyanarma Sakas do take part in Krishna's madhura ras with the gopis. And we'll hear about that. So among Priyanarma Sakas, Krishna's greatest friends in Braj, Subal is the chief. The Priyanarma Sakas are greater than even the Surit Sakas and Priya Sakas because they have a special mood towards Krishna, which is this Madhura Bhava Bhavita, this Radhika Pranaya. This is the distinguishing feature of the Priyanarma Sakas, is that they have this Radhika Pranaya, their absorption in Sakhi Bhav, and they're engaged in very intimate services, like secretly assisting Krishna and his sweethearts. Subal, Arjun, Gandharva, Vasant, Ujjwala, Madhumangal are some of Krishna's Priyanarma friends. So this is he's glorifying Subal here by showing it the intimacy of his bhav. There's a nice verse that describes this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Radha Sandesha Vrindam Katayati Subala Pashya Krishnasya Karne Shama Kandarpa Lekam Nibritam Uparat Yujvala Pani Padme Pali Tambalam Asye Vitarati Chatura Kokilo Murdni Dhate. Tara Dameti Narma Pranaya Sahacharas Tanvi Tandvanti Sevam. This is one duty, one gopi messenger, which is describing, she's speaking to another gopi. One gopi messenger is speaking to another gopi, describing the characteristics of Krishna's Priyanarma Sakas. She said, "Oh Sakhi, look! Subal is whispering some news about Radha in Krishna's ear." Radha Sandesh, right? Sandesh. Ujjwala places Shama's love letter in Krishna's lotus hand in a secret place. So she's narrating to one of the messengers, another duty, Sakhi duty messenger. She's narrating to them what she's observed, how these intimate Priyanarma Sakas are assisting Krishna in his loving pastimes with the gopis. One is whispering some secrets about Radha. And who is that? That's Subal. So he gets to whisper directly in Krishna's ear. So confident, such confidential, intimate relationship. Whispering some sweet news, love news. And so another Sakha, Priyanarma Sakha, who may not be so close, he can handle a love letter. He can be a messenger. He can be a mailman or a woman man. Mailman or a male woman or a male woman, or male woman. He's carrying Shama. Shama means Radharani. Subal is carrying, he's carrying Radharani's love letter. And Krishna, look, this is from Radharani. Read it. Then another Sakha named Chatur, he places pan in Krishna's mouth from Pali Sakhi. So he collects some pan. Pali's, she's a Sakhi from the other side. She's not Radharani's camp, she's another Sakhi, Pali. And then she's very intimate with Krishna. So this coward boy, Priyanarma Sakhi, he's collected that pan from the Sakhi, what she's chewed, her remnants, her prasadi pan. And he's carried it in his hand, and he's putting that in Krishna's mouth. So imagine how intimate he is. Chatur. Then Kokil Sakha, he places a garland made by Tara on Krishna's head. In this way, the Priyanarma Sakhas remain engaged in Krishna's service. Now, this is one gopi telling another gopi about how fortunate are the Priyanarma Sakhas and how much absorbed they are in Radhika Pranaya, this intense mood of gopi love, the gopi's love for Krishna. They're very much assisting. They're putting pan in his mouth, whispering loving words about Radharani in his ears, giving him love notes, putting garlands on his head from some other Sakhi. So they're very much they're the mediums and go-betweens, mediums and go-betweens between Krishna and his most intimate lovers, the Paramaprishtha Sakis and Radha and Lalita and others. So how much they must know and how much they have to keep quiet when they're with the other Sakas, because they all go out with the coward boys together. They're all the Priyanarma Sakas and the Priya Sakas and the Surid Sakas. They all go together in the morning, but they don't say. They don't mention anything. They keep it confidential. So they're very careful about their Harikata. So Subal and Ujjvala are the greatest of the Priyanarma Sakas. Subal's beauty is extraordinary. And there's some description here in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We heard a description of the beauty from Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika. And Rupa Goswami further states here, Tano Ruchi Vijita Hiranyam Hari Dayatam Harinam Haridvasanam Subalam Kuvalaya Nayanam Nayanandita Bandavam Bande Vande. I praise Hari's dear friend Subal, whose bodily luster defeats gold. Vijita Hiranyam. Hiranyam means gold. Vijita. Tanu Ruchi Vijita Hiranyam. It says Tanu Ruchi Vijita Hiranyam. It says Tanu means body. Ruchi means taste or flavor. And Hiranyam means gold. Not only the gold, but whatever effect or flavor or influence gold has, his body also defeats it. And he wears a necklace and a green dhoti. Harinam Harid, Harid Vasanam. It's like recently we had Hariyali Tej. This was Tritiya. Shukla Tritiya. Shravan Mas. Shravan Mas Shukla Tritiya is called Hariyali Tej. And that is the first day of Julan Yatra in Vrindavan. Julan Yatra goes from Hariyali Tej until Purnima. So that's about 12 days. And Hariyali Tej, all the deities in Vrindavan, Radha Raman, Radha Govinda, Madan Mohan, Gopinath, etc., they're all dressed in beautiful forest green, fresh green, and all kinds of greenery was put all around the altars to celebrate this swinging pastime. Because Krishna goes in the forest and find some beautiful trees somewhere, and the gopis hang some ropes over the trees and they start swinging. So it's a very green environment and very beautiful and fresh. This is Hariyali Tej. So you can imagine how beautiful Subal looks, because when green is contrasted with gold, it looks very attractive. Very attractive. Green and gold go very nicely together. So Subal has a green dhoti. His eyes resemble blue lotus flowers, and it delights his friends. So, Kuvalaya Nayanam. Subalam Kuvalaya Nayanam Nayanandita Bandavam. So his Nayanandita, Anandita, his eyes, they give great happiness and bliss to the coward boyfriends. When they see his eyes, why do they feel so much happiness? Nayanandita. Nayanandita, why do the coward boys feel so much happiness when they see the eyes of Subal? Because in the eyes of Subal, they see Krishna. And the eyes of Subal, they see Krishna's love for Radharani, that intense love that Subal is carrying in his eyes. So when they see his eyes are blue, like Radharani's eyes, but they're reflecting the love that's in Krishna's heart, because he knows that love, because he takes part in those loving pastimes with Radharani and Krishna. So they feel great anandita. Just see a reflection of that love. They're not directly experiencing that love, the other coward boys, but they feel some bliss just by seeing his eyes. Especially the other Priyanarma Sakas, who can understand the intimacy of the Radha and Krishna's exchanges. This Subal is very... this beauty of Subal's, which is being described here, there's also many pastimes. where Subal dresses up as Radharani. There's one during Kartik in the temples of Vrindavan. The deities wear different veshas. I think it's a couple of days after Kartik, actually, to give a special treat to the devotees. Radha Damodar dresses up as Shamasaki. He dresses up as a gopi. And Govindaji, Radharani, dresses up in Subal Vesh, Subal Saka Vesh. And Shamasundar, the original Radha Shamasundar temple, is Nokabihar. And Krishna dresses up as a boatman. And they have a big boat on the altar. And Radharani's on one side and Krishna's on the other side. And Madan Mohan, it's Rai Raj. And Gokulananda's Rai Raj also, where Radharani becomes the queen, Vrindavaneshri of Vrindavan. And Krishna becomes a Kotwari or Chokidar. He's placed a few steps down from Radharani, facing her, and he's given a sword in his hand and a shield, like a Kotwari or Chokidar. And Radharani's put on a big throne. She's sitting there, presiding over a kingdom as the Empress of Vrindavan. And Krishna is simply your humble doorman and gatekeeper and bodyguard. That's in Gokulananda temple and also Madan Mohan. It's very beautiful to see. They do the same thing here. At Govindaji Mandir, you can see sometimes a picture of Radharani dressed in Subal Vesh. There's a whole pastime like that, which is described in the Puranas. Where once, because it's described here that you heard about the blue eyes of Subal and the beautiful golden complexion, and he's a little bit younger, and so he's so beautiful. So although we heard about Sridham has Samagun and Samavayas, he has the same age as Krishna and same qualities as Krishna and same vesh, same clothes. But Subal has more of a speciality because he has Radhika Pranaya, and he takes part in the intimate loving dealings of Radha and Krishna. And moreover, he really takes part because he looks like Radharani. Whereas Sridhama, what color is Sridhama?
Isham
color. So that's very good for Radharani. That's very anukul for Krishna Bhakti. It's very anukul for Radharani's Krishna Bhakti to see her blue older brother, her Shamanga Sridham. His body is bluish in color, so whenever she sees him, every day she's growing up with him and seeing him because he's older brother. So she's always reminded of Sham. And Krishna is always playing all the time with Subal, even when he leaves the other coward boys during Madhyan Leela to run off with the gopis at Radhakund or to meet with the gopis and leave Sridham behind. Sridham is left behind at Gwalpakur or Govardhan, all the other coward boys, Mandali, Bhadra and Gobata, etc. He takes Subal with him. Krishna and Subal are inseparable. So Subal, wherever Krishna goes, Subal goes, and whenever Krishna looks at Radharani, that's very much anukul for Krishna's Radha Bhakti, for his Radha consciousness. Because Krishna's aim and an objective is to be Radha conscious. His goal of his life is to attain Radha consciousness. And the goal of Radharani's life is to attain Krishna consciousness. Back home, back to Godhead. So Subal is his beautiful golden color. It's so beautiful and golden. It's very favorable for Krishna to remember Radharani. And he wears a green dress. And he has a beautiful face. So sometimes Jatila, the jealous, angry, envious old mother-in-law of Radharani, she restricts Radharani's movements and keeps her grounded or confined in her house at Yavat of her mother-in-law, Jatila. And she prohibits her from going out to do Surya Puja. She says, you do Surya Puja at home. Do Manasi Puja. You can't go to Surya Kund today because I don't trust you. I think you're going to meet with that black snake. And I've had enough of that. I've heard so many rumors. I can't tolerate it anymore. Now you stay home. So now Radharani is locked up, not locked up, but she's confined and restrained by the order of her mother-in-law within the palace at Yavat. So Krishna is pining for her on the banks of Radhakund and very upset and crying and weeping. And he turns to Subal and says, can't you do something? Can't you make some arrangement? So then Subal is very clever. As we heard, gopas are nipun. They're very expert. It's one of their qualities. That word was there, nipun. And one other description. Nipun means very expert. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipono. It says that the Goswamis are Nippon. They're very Nippon, expert in studying all the different Shastras. So, employing his expertise, Subal went off to Yavatgram. And Jatila was waiting in the yard, making cow dung patties, and keeping her busy with some domestic chores. But really she was keeping watch. She was making sure that no snakes would slither into her garden or into her yard. She was waiting there with one big stick. And if any black snakes tried to slither in, she would bash them and smash them to death. So she was simultaneously guarding Radharani to keep her from sneaking out of the house and guarding the front gate to make sure that no black snakes would sneak into the house. So then clever Subal happened along one day and he said, "Oh, Jatila, I lost one of my calves. Have you seen my calf?" "And my calf has wandered away from the herd. And we're about to collect the cows to go home, and I have to find this calf. Have you seen this calf?" "I think he maybe came. I saw him come this way. I think he jumped your fence and ran in your yard somewhere." And Jatila said, "No, I didn't see. But anyway, you go look. So then he very quickly went inside the courtyard, and he was looking, and he saw that she was very unsuspecting. Jatila was unsuspecting. She reabsorbed herself again in making cow dung patties. And that was a great passion for her. And so then, taking the opportunity of inattention, Subal stealthily entered her house, Radharani's private house to the north, her palace. And then he quickly met with Radharani. He said, "Quickly, you have to do something. Because Krishna is dying. He's pining for you on the banks of Radhakund. He's crying and weeping in separation. He's beside himself. Listen to my idea. Because you look so much like me. That's his advantage. Although Sridham, Shamangas, and Samaguna, Samavesh, and Samasundarya looks like Krishna, that has its advantages. But Subal looks like Radharani and has much more advantages. He looks like Radharani and he feels like Radharani." Raghunath Das Goswami is saying here, Radhika Pranaya, that the Pranaya of Radhika is swirling in his heart. So in this particular instance or pastime, looks are important. It's not what you do that counts, it's what you look like. So judge a book by its cover. So Subal said, "Listen, let's exchange clothes. You dress up as a coward boy, and I'll dress up in your clothes." That's what Subal did. He went in another room, and he took all his clothes off, and then he opened the door and he threw them in the room. And then in a separate room, Radharani changed into Subal's clothes. Then she left her clothes there, and then she left. But Radharani said, "But Subal, what do I do when I walk out? I can imitate your voice. That's not a problem. And I look just like your face. Everything's the same. But when I walk by my mother-in-law, there's something on the front side. She might detect that I don't look exactly, like a coward boy." So he said, "Well, you just take my calf." So then Yogamaya immediately produced a calf right there, which was the so-called calf that Subal was looking for. At least he gave that excuse to Jatila. So here, you take this calf and hold it in front of your chest, and then you walk by Jatila and you just do the needful. Everything, Yogamaya will take care of everything. Don't worry. Just have faith in Krishna. Just do your service. And we always preach to everyone, have faith, do your service, don't be afraid of Maya, don't be hesitant, don't be impatient, don't be afraid, just depend on Krishna and go forward and do your service and all success will be yours." So Subal was telling Radharani like that. So then she changed into Subal's clothes and she picked up that calf, that vatsa, and she held it in front of her chest. And she walked out very confident in the words of her guru, Subal, and with great enthusiasm to meet Krishna, but trying to contain her enthusiasm by keeping her mouth closed. And she walked by, and then Jatila glanced over her shoulder. "Oh, Subal, you found your cap." And then Radharani gave a typical Indian nod of her head. "Ah, gee, this one, huh?" Without saying anything, didn't have to say a word, just moved her head. And Jatila said, "Oh, that's very good. Okay, you go now." So then she ran with lightning speed to the banks of Radhakund, and then she met Krishna and showered him with the stream of her love. So this is another wonderful service that Subal renders, that because it's such an amazing similarity between Subal's face, his hands and his feet to the limbs of Radharani, that he can at any time wear Radharani's dress and stay in Jatila's house, while Radha goes out to meet Krishna dressed like Subal without Jatila or her sister-in-law Kutila noticing a thing. So because Subal can render such wonderful services by which he saves Radharani's life from burning and separation, for that reason, Radharani constantly showers him with the stream of her love. So this is the leela behind why Raghunath Das Goswami is glorifying this Priyanarmasaka Subal by saying, Radhika Pranaya Nirjara Sikta Chetas. Chetas is Chaitana, his heart. The heart or consciousness of Subal, Radhika Pranaya Nirjara Sikta, is always sprinkled, Sikta, with a Nirjara stream of Radhika's Pranaya. With Radharani's intense heart's prem, heart's love, she's so appreciative and grateful to Subal for the important service that he renders, that she fills her heart with the same Pranaya that she has for Krishna. This is a wonderful service, one of the most wonderful services that Subal helps to arrange, as do the other Priyanarmasakas in their own way. They help to arrange for the loving union of Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. So that was mentioned as Radhika Pranaya, how these Priyanarmasakas, they have this mood of Sakhi Bhav, and they assist in Radharani's pastimes, because they have taken shelter of the Sakhi Bhav. So when Krishna sports with Radha and his other sweethearts, the Leela Shakti arranges for him to be separated from his other coward boys, the Priya Sakhas and the Surit Sakhas. They stay together. But the Priyanarma Sakhas, like Subal, because they've taken shelter of Sakhi Bhav, they have this mood. They're not even separated from Krishna when he unites with his sweethearts. It's even explained that because Subal is the greatest assistant in helping Krishna meet Radha, he's blessed with the qualification to render many intimate services during Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And this is told in Ujjwala Nilamani. Rupa Goswami further describes how much intimate service Subal renders. Pratya Vartayati Prasadya Lananam Krida Kali Prashtitam Shayam Kunja Grihe Karutyaga Bida Kandarpa Lilochitam Swayanam Vijayati Priya Ridhi Parishastangam Ucharamam Kwa Shriman Adhikaritam Na Subala Seva Vido Vindati. So Rupa Manjari was once addressing a Sakhi who was very devoted to Subal. She said, "Listen, Sakhi, what service to Krishna is Subal not eligible?" In other words, she's saying, what services can't Subal do? Is there anything Subal can't do to please or satisfy Krishna? For example, when there's a prema kalaha, when there's a lover's quarrel, prema kalaha, arises between Krishna and his gopis in the course of their pastimes, Subal will go independently to meet Krishna's gopi damsels and pacify them with humble words and convince them to return to Krishna. Can you imagine? Oh, come on, he's not so bad. Why are you pouting? Why are you sulking in this kunj? Don't you know that Krishna loves you more than anyone? That you're his dearest? He even told me just yesterday how dear you are to him. Don't stay here just wallowing in your suffering. Immediately go see him. Come on. Oh, okay. Let's go. Then, not only that, it says, Shayam Kunjagrihe Karut Yagi Bida. He goes into the Kunja cottages and makes a wonderful flower bed or play bed so Krishna can enjoy his erotic pastimes with the gopis. And when Krishna becomes tired of enjoying love sports and falls exhausted on his beloved's breast, on Radha's breast, Subal picks up a fan and refreshes them with the cooling breezes of the fan. I mean, that's really intimate. You can imagine. So this is how much love, how much prana means, this is the very heart of Krishna and the heart of Radharani. He's so much trusted and so much appreciated that he can be there in the most intimate times to serve the Lord. So this is glorification of Subal Sakha. So as Raghunath Das is praying Subal Sakha and offering his obeisances, Tam prema vivalatanam Subalam namami. I offer my obeisances unto Subal, the embodiment of overwhelming love, prema vivala. Vivala means tanam. Prema vivalatanam. Tanu means body, form. Murti, tanu, tanam. Aradya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayo. Atanayo, the son or from the born from the body of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, Nanda Nandan. Prema vivala tanam, subalam namami. His form is overwhelmed. His very form is overwhelmed with prema, beautiful prema. And what a beautiful mixture of prema he has. It's sakya prema, friendship, support, loving friend, mixed with madhurya and dasya. All these are mixed together here. In this form of Subal. Radhika Pranaya Nirjara Sikta Chetas. He pleases Radharani so much by his intimate services that she sprinkles on him her pranaya like a rain shower. Often in Radhakund, the rain doesn't really shower and certainly doesn't rain cats and dogs. Only some sprinkle. A sprinkler, a few drops. The ground doesn't even become wet. The rain stays on the grass and doesn't even soak the ground. So as Subal is being sprinkled with Radhika's pranaya, her deep heart's attachment and sweet love for Krishna, we can pray to Subal to sprinkle our hearts with some drops of this deep anurag, gada anurag, Bharata. He's filled with this great love for Krishna. So we pray to Subal that he can also bless us. So this is a discussion of Maramangal. Maramangal, although he's a Brahmin, he does puja in Nandagaon on behalf of Nanda Maharaj. He worships the Shalagram Chila there and the Lakshmi Narayan deity of Nanda Maharaj in his palace mandir, Nanda Bhavan Mandir, the Kula Devata. They have a deity of Nrisinga, and also they have Lakshmi Narayan and Lord Nrisingadev, and also Shalagram. So Maramangala and some other Brahmins there are in charge of that puja and seva. So Maramangala has his bedroom there next to Krishna's in Nandagaon. So he's with Krishna 24 hours a day, practically. Sometimes there's a few moments separation here and there. He goes out and eats some bananas or eats some sweets and falls asleep at appropriate times. But he's described in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, Tatra Srimaramangala Ishat Shamala Varnopi Srimaramangalo Bhavit Vasanam Gora Varnadyam Vanamalya Virajita. Maramangal has a Ishat Shamala, slightly dark complexion. He wears yellow garments and a garland of forest flowers. So he's always wearing his Gauravasanam and Vanamala Virajita. So he's wearing yellow garments like Krishna. It's hard to see yourself, but it's easier to see others. So Krishna is not always, if Krishna is running around here and there with the coward boys, and Maramangala is also there. And if Krishna was looking at his own dhoti all the time, he might trip or might fall into a cave or something, or fall off a mountaintop. But he can look at Mata Mangal and see Mata Mangal's yellow dhoti and remember Radharani, and that's why he wears the Pitambara Vastra also. He wears Pitambara Vastra, Pitambara, to remember Radharani, as Radharani wears Nilambara, to remember Shyam. She's feeling, oh, Shyam is wrapped around me in the form of this cloth, because everything is Krishna. Krishna's in everything. So cotton or silk is also Krishna. So this silk sari wrapped around me is also Krishna wrapped around me, in a loving embrace in the form of silk, loving embrace in the form of cotton. So when Krishna's wearing yellow dhoti, silk dhoti, then you can think, oh, I'm being surrounded by Radharani's love. I'm being wrapped by Radharani's love. The seeing Mata Mangal becomes an Udipan to remember his Premashraya, Vibhava Lambana Premashraya Srimati Radharani. Simply by seeing Mata Mangal, you can think like this and become stimulated in a Staibhava or Stairati for Radharani. Seeing Mata Mangal can increase Krishna's Radha consciousness. He can become more Radha conscious and attain the goal of his life. The goal of his life is to attain pure Radha consciousness. Pure association of Radharani. Pita sandi paner devo matta cha sumuki sati nandi muki cha bhagani purnamasi pitamahi. So here, this verse, Rupa Goswami is describing the family, the gochar family, parivar, of Mata Mangal. His father is the saintly Sandipani Muni. Do you know Sandipani Muni?
Yes.
He's a guru. Krishna's guru in Ujjain. So that's the father of Mata Mangal. And his mother is Sumukhi. And his sister is Nandimukhi. And his paternal grandmother, his mother's mother, is Purnamasi, who is Yogamaya.
Mother's mother.
Mother's mother. Purnamasi is his grandmother. Virushaka Krishna Sakha Sri Mata Mangala Sada. So he's always joking. Mata Mangala is always joking. Virushaka Krishna Sakha. This Sakha of Krishna, this Krishna Sakha is a Virushaka. This friend of Krishna he's always playing the part of the buffoon. Buffoon means joker, jester. An expert comedian who always plays the buffoon. Sri Mata Mangala is the constant companion of Krishna. Sri Mata Mangala Sada. He's always with Krishna. So this is Rupa Goswami's description in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika. In our Vrajavilas stuff, Das Goswami describes that Mata Mangala is the Hasya Ras Murti. Murti means form, embodiment, personification of laughter, comedy, joking, hilarity. Hasya Ras is one of the Gona Rasas. So he says in verse 24, Murto Hasya Rasa Sadeva Sumana Kamam Bubukshatura Prana Prishta Vayasyayor Anudinam Vag Deha Bangyukare Hasyam Yo Maramangala Prakatayan Sambrajate Kotuki Tam Brindavana Chandra Narma Sanchivan Prityashu Vandamahe means we praise. Then Prityashu Vandamahe Sachivam. Das Goswami says, he prays. We lovingly praise Mata Mangal, the funniest friend of Vrindavan Chandra, who is the embodiment of the mellow of laughter, Hasya Ras Murti. Madhamangala is always happy and very hungry. Always. Everything is always. He's always hungry. It says, bubukshu atura. Kamam bubukshu atura. Sada says sadeva. So he's always sadeva suman. Suman. You know suman? Suman means blissful mind. Translation here, suman means blissful mind. So he's sada suman, sada kaman, sada bubukshu. So he's always blissful. He's always bubukshu, hungry. Because this adjective refers there. Sadaiva suman, sadaiva kamam, sadaiva bubukshatura. He's atura. He's always overwhelmed with hunger and desire to eat. And he always immerses his dearmost friends, pranapreshta vayasur, anudinam. Anudin means day after day. Vak deha bhangi utkare hasyam. Vag means words, deha means body, bhangi like tree bhangi, like bhangi vihari. He always immerses his dearmost friends, his pranapreshta, Radha and Krishna, in the mellow of laughter with his funny words and many funny movements of his body. Deha bhangi. He contorts and bends his body, bends his neck down to the left and his arm up, makes funny contortions and body movements, which the coward boys laugh, and especially Radha and Krishna. So this is, he's like a clown. We say sometimes this word, clown. So as a real, this word, vidushaka, which is mentioned in Ganadesh Deepika, buffoon, means as a real clown, he deranges or contorts his body, words, and dress, and thus makes everyone laugh. In other words, he changes his voice, the tone of his, well, what do you think, boys? Shall we eat some fruits? And then they all start laughing, and he changes his tone of voice. Well, hey! And you don't know what he's going to say. He's going to talk funny, act funny, bend his body. He's a clown. So this is, so in the Sahitya Darpan means the literatures, they give some definition of a buffoon. What is a buffoon? What does he do? And it says that these are the characteristics of a clown. Usually, a clown or a buffoon or vidushaka, he's named after a flower or a season, like the spring. He can create the hasya ras with the funny activities of his bodily gestures, with the clothes he wears, the ornaments and his ornaments and words, and he's always fond of quarreling. A friend with such qualities is called vidushaka or clown. He's also very fond of eating. So here we find that there's basically four qualities of a clown or a buffoon like Madhamangala. His name and his ability to create hasya ras, and he's always fond of quarreling, and he likes to eat. So his name, of course, is Madhamangala. That's his janam name, Madhamangala. So Madhamangala just simply means auspicious, and madhu means, can be the 1 month, or can mean honey or sweetness, but he has other names also. And one of his names is Kusum Asava. Kusum means, he says he's named after a flower, right? It says that a clown is usually named after a flower or a season. So Madhu is, sometimes he's called, as a short name, it's called Madhu. So Madhu is one of the months. It's maybe February or something. Chaitra, Vaishak, and Madhu. So he's called Kusum Asava. So Kusum Asava means intoxication. So Kusum Asava is a type of wine that's made from kusum flowers. Kusumasava. So he's called Kusumasava because he intoxicates everyone with laughter. So therefore he's named, and he's also called Batu. Batu, I don't know what that name is. There's some nickname. Krishna calls him Batu, B-A-T-U. Called Kusumasava, or Batu, or Madamangal, or Madhu. So he is named like that. He is named after a flower, a season. And he's always quarreling, that's a fact. And he's very fond of eating. So he's in Braj, he's the greatest shelter for Hasiras. He's the embodiment of laughter. In other words, when we say that someone's the embodiment of laughter, we say he's the Hasiras Murti. It means that in his presence, when he's there, when the Virusaka buffoon or clown or Madamangal, when you see him or hear him or when you associate with him, then you laugh. He's very funny and you laugh. But the real meaning is that even when you don't see him, when you don't see Madamangal, but you remember him and you think of him, then you also start laughing. Radhi Radhi. So this is Madamangal. That even when he's not there, which is hardly ever because he's usually always there when Krishna's having pastimes, but if someone remembers him, then they laugh. Or they talk about him. In other words, when he's not present, his mere remembrance causes Krishna to relish the sweet Hasiras when he talks about him with his friends or with Sri Radha and the Braja Sundaris. In other words, they say, oh, remember the other day when Madamangal was quarreling and he got those two rings from Jatila for the Surya Puja, and that Surya Prasad, and he was hiding it. Then the coward boys swooped in behind him and knocked off his turban and pulled his dhoti out from the back, and then they grabbed his stash of Mahaprasad from Surya. Then he grabbed my stick and started chasing everyone. He was yelling and hissing like a snake. And everyone said, oh yeah, and they started remembering that time and they laughing. So this is the gopis laugh, the gopas laugh. So when Madamangal's present, when he's there with everyone in front of the gopis or the coward boys, his natural way of dressing and ornamenting, the movement of his limbs and his choice of words or his changing his voice are the greatest incitements for laughter. What to speak of when he really starts his funny gestures and words. So even when he's just walking around, the way he ties a turban on his head all funny and sticks some weeds or some grass inside there. Whatever, he always says something funny. So when we read these descriptions of Madamangal, we can't help think that Radhanath Swami gave such an appropriate name to our Bombay friend. This Madamangal, his previous name was Mahek Kaushik, which doesn't sound very rustic. Mahek Kaushik, but now his name is Madamangal. It's quite appropriate. Because if you ever see him, he naturally comes, sometimes he wears a dhoti. Then around his dhoti, he puts a red gumsha. He's wearing a gumsha like he's going bathing, but he has a dhoti on. And his gumsha around outside of his dhoti. He's walking around the ashram. I said, what are you doing? That's Madamangal. Dresses funny, speaks funny, acts funny. So it's very good. He can really help us remember Krishna's eternal associates. And that's the whole idea, that we're named Madamangal Das or so-and-so Das. Someone says Garanga Das, so we can think of Garanga, or we can think of the eternal associates. So actually all of Krishna's friends, they naturally endowed with sweet natures. And they delight and please Krishna with their various activities and feelings and bhavas. So this Hasya Ras, as we mentioned, is a Gona Ras. And it acts when it's in action, and it acts as a sanchari bhava or transitory ecstasy. We can see some description of these rasas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 19, verse 185 through 188. And also chapter 23, verse 53. It says more about the rasas. Shantadasya sakya vatsalya madura rasa nam Krishna bhakti rasa madye e pancha pradan hasyad bhuta bira karun rojra vibatsa bhai pancha vida bhakte gona sapta rasa hoy pancha rasa stahi vyapi rohe bhaktaman Mane Saptagona Agantuka Paye Karan. Says there are five basic flavors in Krishna devotion, five basic rasas, Panchapradan, chief. Tranquility, shant, servitude, dasya, friendship, sakya, parental love, vatsalya, and sweet amorous erotic love, madhura ras. And there are 7 secondary flavors or mellows or rasas in each of the main 5. Laughter, wonder, hasya, adbhuta, chivalry, bira, pity, karun, sometimes it's called compassion or pathos or pity, anger, rodra, disgust, bibhatsa, and fear, bhaya. One of these 5 major rasas, sthayibhav, or these panchapradhan, they always reside in the heart and mind of a devotee, while the 7 gonarasas, this is called mukhiras, while the 7 gonarasas, or secondary rasas, or mellows, they come into the mind or heart as visitors. They come and go. So when the heart is, when one experiences laughter, then the heart blooms due to experiencing some funny words or dress or activities. The eyes widen and the nose may tremble, the lips and cheeks may tremble or flush. So this hasya rati is a kind of happiness that originates from activities related to Krishna and is blessed by or nourished by rati. So this is Madhumangal is always happy and he's always hungry after nice food. Mm-hmm. And you can read in Govinda Lilamrita and Bhavanamrita and also Krishnaika Komudi and Bhavanasara Sangra about his eating pastimes. And in all the different pastimes he's always stirring up the hasya ras. In the morning pastimes in the, with the cows in the pastures and Goshta Lila, during the Madhyan Lila at Radhakund, and they're picnicking and they're playing dice at Radhakund, Surya Puja. So we lovingly praise Krishna's funniest friend of Vrindavan, Chandra, Madhumangal, who's completely overwhelmed by his greed for nice food and always immerses Yugal Kishore in the mellow of laughter with his crazy words and gestures. And he always pleases and satisfies Krishna. He's so fond of having fun in all kinds of humorous games, and thus he always makes Krishna happy. He bears the sweet and auspicious name of Sri Madhumangal. But everyone simply calls him Batu. And he always sports with Govinda and Shuddha Sakyabhav, or pure fraternal love. Madhumangal ki jaya. So this is some description of the Sakhi Ras and the particular representatives of different aspects of Sakyabhav or Sakhi Ras and Braj Leela. These are members of Krishna's eternal family, his Nitya Parishads or Nitya Parikars, Vijay and Sridham, Subal, Madhumangal, and a host of others, which we mentioned briefly. But these are some key players in Krishna's pastimes with his coward boyfriends, representative of particular moods of love and moods of intimacy and confidentiality. And Subal and Madhumangal and the Priyasakas, they go all the way up to helping Krishna as Madhurya Ras with the gopis in the kunjas of Vrindavan and kunjas of Radhakund. And even we hear Subal was right there fanning Radha and Krishna after they were tired from their love sports. Because it's described he's the most intimate of the Priyanarma Sakas. But we don't find Madhumangal in that situation. When Krishna, Subal and Madhumangal and Krishna together, all three, they come to Radhakund. Subal was Priyanarma Saka and Madhumangal also and Krishna. But then when Krishna wants to enjoy in Kunj Rati Keli, or Nikunj Leela, then he tells Vrindadevi, oh Vrindadevi, see, look, Madhumangal, he's looking at all those bananas there in the banana patch. Because there's some description around Radhakund, there's so many kunjas of the Sakis, and there are coconut groves, and there are flower groves, and there's swings, swing areas, and there's footpaths and walking areas, and there are trees with platforms under them with water basins and water troughs there. And then beyond that, there's some banana orchards and fruit orchards. All these are surrounding the different kunjas of Radhakund. So Krishna wants to divert Madhumangal for some time. So he says, oh Vrindadevi, you see, Mother Mangala is eyeing the banana patch. Why don't you go and get some bananas for him? I think he must be hungry now. He's always hungry. I think he's hungry for some of those ripe bananas. So Mother Mangala says to Krishna, I don't need Vrindadevi's permission. Since when do I need her permission to rip off some bananas or to eat some bananas? And why? You're only offering me a bunch. I'm going to go over there now and eat the whole tree. Just watch me. So then Mother Mangala disappears into the banana patch and busies himself with hundreds of bananas, and he goes, what they say, bananas, and becomes totally intoxicated by all those bananas and all that sugar, because bananas over there are really sweet. Not like these junky bananas we buy over here. They're really sweet, and you eat 5 or 10 and you become intoxicated. Such a high sugar content. And they're growing in Madhurya Vrindavan, in the sweetest part of all Vrindavan. There's nothing sweeter than Govardhan, higher than Govardhan is Radhakund. So everything here, if something falls into an ocean of sweetness, something falls into an ocean of sugar, it becomes sweet. If you fall into a lake full of sugar water, then your clothes become sweet. You can suck on your necktie and get sugar out of it. Suck on your shoes will become sweet, your socks will become sweet, your hair, everything will become sweet. Someone licks your skin, they'll say, oh, so sweet. They lick your shoes, oh, your shoes, because they've fallen into the sweetness. So Radhakunda is the sweetest of the sweet of Madhurya Vrindavan. So actually anything happening here, anyone living here, speaking here, serving here, they must be the sweetest. So any banana trees growing here must be sweeter than banana trees growing in Vrindavan, or what to speak of Mathura. So the banana trees growing in the kunjas of Radhakund must be the sweetest bananas in all creation, because they're saturated with the Madhurya of Radhakund. So when Mother Mangala goes there and starts munching on those bananas, he goes, bananas. He becomes totally intoxicated. So he's busy, he's sleeping under the banana patch, under the banana trees, while Krishna is busying himself in Nikunj with Radharani in intimate pastimes. So he can get that far, he can get that close. He goes right up to the gate of the Nikunj. And then when Krishna is going to go inside the Nikunj, then he says, bye. Bye-bye, Batu. Bye-bye, Batu. Take a walk into the banana patch. Make yourself at home and enjoy yourself. Eat to your heart's content. Sadaiva babukshu. Sadaiva, always eternally hungry. So go satisfy your sadaiva babukshu, your eternal hunger, by eating up all those bananas over there. There's thousands of them. It should keep you busy. Because I'll be busy relishing some other sweetness inside any kunj. So he doesn't have the adhikar to go there. But apparently Subal is so intimate that he's able to even come inside, at least occasionally, at least render some fanning afterwards. Radha and Krishna have concluded their intimate exchanges. But the mandris have much more intimacy even than the Priyanarmasakas like Subal, because they can be in the kunja the whole time when Radha and Krishna are enjoying intimately and confidentially. So the mandris, that's next level up, is Madhurya Bhav. Two levels up, because above Sakya Bhav is Vatsalya Bhav. Above Vatsalya Bhav is Madhurya Bhav. And the highest expression of Madhurya Bhav is the Madanakya Mahabhava of Srimati Radhika, Mahabhava Sarupini. So we'll pray to the Hasiras Murti, Hasiras Murti Maramangal, the funniest friend of Vrindavan Chandra. He's the funniest guy in the world. Maramangal, he can enter into, we can submit his name to Guinness Book of Records. He can be famous as the funniest man in the world. Because the world really, the eternal world is Vrindavan. And this is the topmost world, and Madhumangal Batu Kusumasava, he's the funny guy. He's the funniest guy over there. No one's funnier than him. So our lives are not so funny. It's more like pathos. More like Vivatsa Rasmurti, the form of disgust. Or the form of unhappiness or whatever, or Vaya Rasa Murti, form of fear. So many fears and so much disgust. So we can pray to Mother Mangal that some of his funny nature will come in our life. Because Krishna consciousness is also full circle emotions. There's everything here. All these rasas are here. This is Krishna consciousness. So someday, just imagine that actually these are not historical figures. These are not figures from ancient history. Like we read ancient history about Cleopatra and Caesar and Cicero and Nehru and whoever, whoever they are, the famous people of the past. And we read in history books, Subhash Chandra Bose, or Jawahar Nehru, or whatever, and Eisenhower, and Churchill, and Hitler, and all these assorted demons, or whatever they are. And they come and they go, and they fade off into oblivion, never to really make any significant contribution to anyone's life. So we're not reading ancient history of 5,000 years ago, history of Vrindavan, Prakat Vrindavan, Bhuvan Vrindavan. These are historical figures that walked the face of Vrindavan. Now they left, never to return, never to be seen, never to be met, never to be associated with. No, they're eternal personalities. And they're living right now eternally in Vrindavan, and Aprakat Vrindavan. They're here, we can't see, but they're here. Madhumangal's here, Vijay is here, Sridham, Subal, Krishna, Radha, Yashoda, Purnamasi, Nanda Baba, Upananda, Abhinandan, Sunandan, Nandan. They're all here in Aprakat, Leela, and Braj. So we are, someday, the real enchanting idea is that someday we will see Madhumangal, we will meet Madhumangal. Not only Madhumangal Das, but the original, Asli Madhumangal, the 100% original Madhumangal. We will meet, we will associate with, we will laugh. When he makes a joke, we will laugh. And our sides will bust. Our sides will bust, we'll roll on the ground. Tears will flood our eyes. We'll lose our breath. His jokes will be so funny. This will all be our reality. It's not imagination, it's not sci-fi. They say sci-fi, right? Science fiction. It's not science fiction. It's not Steven Spielberg or Spillbrains or whatever his name is. spilt brains. Misused brains. So much brains but all misused for Maya. Imagine if he used all his brains to produce Krishna movies. Obviously the guy, Krishna's given him a brain, but he's misusing it for Maya. So next life will become some stupid animal with no brain. So all his brains will be spilled, lost, spill brain. So our brain should be used for Krishna, thinking the ways and means and wherefores to spread the name, fame, and glory of Krishna's Nam, Rup, Guna, and Leela. It's a proper use of intelligence, words, vak, kaya, mana, vak. But this is the reason we hear about these personalities, and by hearing about them, we desire to meet them, to see them, to someday join with them in the eternal service of Radha and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan. And this is why the great acharyas like Raghunath Das, the compassionate guardians of devotion, have given us such wonderful books like Sabhavali and Rupa Goswami Sabhamala and Padyavali and all these great books so we can read and study and remember and pray. Pray, remember as he's remembering. Pray as he's praying. Everywhere he's saying, Vande Mahe, Vandeham Namami. He's saying, I offer obeisances. I pray for the mercy. And he's saying, Prapadyante. You see, there's different endings. Each verse is, one verse is ending with Vandamahe. We praise. Another verse is ending with Namami. We offer obeisances. Another verse is ending with Prapadyante. We surrender. So these are all the moods of the sadhaka that Das Goswami is showing us. In Sadaka Vesh, many of the writings of Das Goswami are written in Sarupa Vesh. He's absorbed in Sarup as Rati Manjari, Vilakkusamanjali especially, one of the last books that he wrote. But this book maybe was written earlier on, I can't say. But he's here in the mood of Sadaka Vesh, absorbed in the mood of a Sadaka, a practitioner, although he's a Siddha, Siddha Purush, eternal associate, Nitya Siddha Parishad of the Lord. But he's using these words, Tam Prapadye. I take shelter of Sridham. I surrender. Namami, Subal, Namami, offer my obeisances. So this is our mood as sadhakas. We want to take shelter of these eternal associates of Krishna, the gopis and gopas, mothers and fathers, Purnamasi, Mukara, Radharani's grandmother, etc. We want to take shelter of them, Prabhadyante. We want to offer obeisances, Namami. And we want to praise them, Vande, with all of our mind, our thoughts, our words and deeds. Especially beg for their mercy, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So by hearing and chanting about these wonderful and sweet exchanges of love with Sri Krishna and his eternal companions in Braj, then this transcendental rasa will also become infused within our hearts, become impressed within our minds, and so that will purify us of all the sanskaras. We have so many bhog sanskaras. We have so much kam bhav within us. If you read in the Bhagavatam, there's something called achyuta bhav. Achyuta bhav means the mood. It's oftentimes this phrase is there throughout the Bhagavatam. Achyuta bhav. That the devotees and followers and lovers of Krishna, they have achyuta bhav. They have bhav, love, feelings, emotions, attachment, sentiments for Krishna. Achyuta Krishna. Achyuta Keshava, Sridhara Madhava, Govinda Gopala Hari. Achyuta bhav. But contrasting that, the conditioned souls like ourselves, we have kam bhav, kam. So much bhav, so much feeling for lusty activities and sense enjoyment and attachment to this material world. So, and because we heard so much about this material world and we're hearing so much about this material world every moment, it's reinforcing our kam bhav. So to hear about the achyuta bhav and the prem bhav of Krishna's associates, it counteracts the kam bhav. And someday, if we hear enough and serve enough and pray enough and receive the descension of mercy, their mercy descends in their heart, the ray of their bhav, a kiran, bhav kiran, the ray of their bhav, if it descends in our heart, then our kam bhav will be removed, and then achyuta bhav will rise, achyuta bhav, a pure loving mood and feeling towards Krishna achyuta that they all have in their hearts. And they all express in their activities, and they all feel in their hearts and minds. So we'll close this discussion of these great representatives of Sakhi Ras and pray for the mercy of Vijay and Sridham and Subal and Madamangal and Panchatattva. Is it Vijay or is it four?
Four.
Four.
Vijay, Sridham, Subal, Madamangal.
And Krishna. Don't forget. He's the center of everything. And he's the truth of all truths. So this is the Panchatattva. Krishna and his associates, right? Sangopangashrita Parshadam. So he's always in Sangha, he's always associated. Krishna is never alone, he's always in association with his friends and lovers and loving parents. So we want to be there too. Count me too. Don't forget me. Please accept me in your company. This is our heartfelt prayer. So this aspiration, if it becomes a burning flame of our lives, then surely it will be fulfilled by the causeless mercy of the Lord. Agatana gatana patiyasi shakti. Yogamaya exhibits this quality of agatana, gatana, patiyasi shakti, to make the impossible possible. It's like the dwarf trying to capture the moon. So then his mother gives him a mirror. He says, look here, the moon, you've caught the moon, the moon is in your mirror, see, look. Oh, I have the moon, I caught it. But it's not like that. It may seem like that. Our proposition to attain the eternal service of Krishna in Braj may seem like a dwarf trying to jump up and capture the moon. But our bhajan will bring that moon into the mirror of our hearts. Our bhajan will bring that reflection of the spiritual world and the spiritual relations and parishads into our heart, cheto darpanam, margin. As the mirror of our heart becomes pure, then it will reflect. It will reflect that moon, Vrindavan Chandra, Gora Chandra, and all of his moon-like associates, Vijay, Sridham, Subal, Madamangal, Lalita Vishaka, Rati Manjari, Rupa Manjari, Purnamasi, Mukara, Nanda, Yashoda, they'll all be reflected in our hearts. And their reflection, their mercy, their activities, their feelings, their bhavas, their moods, they all come in reflection. Then that reflection will become real at the time of bhav. They'll become really perceived